Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Nation. Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy. Good buddy, Austin Ward. My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show. The great Doug Lavery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Tabari here.
Well, Reese came in and he's handed me papers.
Yeah.
And then, he said, "You see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me." Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a Thursday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Reese is back. Bake is here. The whole gang back and better than ever. Your email at 10 o'clock. Mr. Feinbaum going to drop by at 10:30. We'll go over his picks for the college football first round of the playoffs. Let's be honest, just two games that are kind of any sort of sense of what's going to happen in them. The other two seem to be locks. Speaking of locks, we hope to provide locks in the NFL. We will do so as we attempt to beat the house in the 11 o'clock hour. I'll be honest with you. I did not have on the bingo card that the way I would start this show today would be based large part on things having to do with Athens, Ohio. I did not have that on the bingo card for December 18th of 2025. But it's twofold, and it goes to one of those things in sport of you just never know, much like in life, how things are going to shake out. Joe Burrow had a very odd press conference yesterday. It comes on the heels of really 10 days-ish of kind of odd behavior from Burrow. And talking to folks who have known Joe really well, and obviously we covered him as a high school player and covered him when he was here, I don't think he does anything without intent. I don't think he does anything without it with the intent of it landing on ears that it's intended to land for. And so some of his comments that he made are alarming if you're a Bengals fan. And probably if you're a Bengals fan, you're probably like, "You're right, Joe. You probably are sick of all of this." He was asked yesterday in a press conference if he could see himself playing for somebody other than Cincinnati last year. And he said, "No, I couldn't." I'm paraphrasing, but he said, "No, I couldn't." And then he said, could you the follow up, and in classic Burrow, and you guys know this because you cut up all the Burrow audio that we play through the year. What's the average answer, average length of a Burrow question? Answer, I mean.
3.5 seconds.
Right.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, he's good.
Doesn't expand much.
I mean, no, here was him if he could see himself not being the Bengals quarterback next year.
I can't see that, no.
And then the follow-up was, but could you see him? Do you have that one too?
Yeah, on Go not.
Ahead. You think about a lot of things.
So the question there was, could you see yourself playing for somebody other than the Bengals? And his answer was, you think about a lot of things. The way you answer that, if you're all in and if you're not trying to apply pressure on ownership is, of course not. I'm a Bengal for life. I'm an Ohioan. Like, that's how you answer that if you don't want to put up any sort of, if you don't want to hit shots across the bow, honestly. You just say, no, I'm a Bengal for life. That's it. But he is, and I think in some ways deservedly so, fed up with the losing, probably incredibly frustrated by the injuries that have happened, and looking ahead to an off season and going, how can we get better? Now, the flip side of this is we had Ben Baby on yesterday, and he made a great point. He said, look, the Brown family has done everything that Joe Burrow has asked. They asked for him. He asked for them to re-sign Higgins and Chase. They did. They kept them all. They kept all three of them. They kept Trey Hendrickson. Now, for a year, not long term, but they kept him. And so... what more do you want them to do? But it comes back to this idea of in sports, sometimes you are just floored by something that happens. So people say to you, okay, well, how are you going to trade him? Can you trade him? Who knows? Who knows what the, how you do it with the cap? There's certain things you can do in terms of dead money and making it all work. The example I kept coming back to yesterday was the Matt Stafford Lions example of you had a motivated team in the Los Angeles Rams who had reached a Super Bowl with Jared Goff, but believed that Goff would prohibit them from actually winning the Super Bowl. That everything else on their roster was Super Bowl ready and that the quarterback could get you there, but he wasn't good enough to get you over the top. And so in a stunning trade that kind of worked for both teams, the Los Angeles Rams traded Jared Goff and picks to the Lions for Stafford. Stafford wins a Super Bowl year one with the Rams. They might win it again this year. They got a massive game tonight. He may get an MVP by the time all of this is done. Goff and the picks that went back to Detroit have been part of the foundation of the best run in probably Lions history. I mean, they had the 1 year with Barry where they got to the NFC Championship and got absolutely bombed, but this is probably the longest sustained run of success the Lions have had in my lifetime. So you can say, well, how do you do it? Where does it go? How does the money work? But in sport, you just never know when people are motivated, what can get done? And I can give you a laundry list. There's all sorts of things that were shocking. You don't have to go back that far. There would have been, if you would have polled anybody who follows the NBA a couple of years ago, do you think that the Dallas Mavericks will trade Luka Doncic? The answer emphatically would have been no. But in the cover of night, he ends up a Laker. He ends up a Laker. Like, that happened. There's several others. It probably doesn't seem as shocking now as it was in the time, but in 2004, when Aaron Boone got hurt at third base for the Yankees, they went and acquired Alex Rodriguez, who, this was before the steroids, this was before all of it. He had just signed a 10-year, $252 million deal. I want to say he was only 2 or 3 years into that deal with Texas, and all of a sudden, the greatest shortstop of a generation is playing third base for the Yankees. How the hell does that happen? There's so many other ones. Probably the most famous one, in terms of utter shock, because you didn't know the full scope of it at the time that it happened, was when the Edmonton Oilers traded Wayne Gretzky to the LA Kings. Now, what none of us knew, I was a little kid at the time. Reese, you weren't even born, I don't think. But and Bank, I'm sure you have very little, if any, recollection of it. But what none of us knew at the time was that Peter Plonkington, who owned the Edmonton Oilers at that time, was flat broke. He was broke. The government of Canada tried to interject in the trade to stop it. That's what type of national emergency it was when they traded Wayne Gretzky from the Edmonton Oilers to the LA Kings. Like, all of that happened. It's one of the, if you haven't seen it, it's one of the best 30 for 30s you'll ever see. And Wayne Gretzky's wife, Janet Gretzky, took a lot. She was an actress at the time, took great in Police Academy, I want to say 4 or 5. But she took a lot of heat for saying that people believed that she wanted him in Los Angeles. Gretzky cried when it was announced that he was going to be traded to L.A. They won cups in Edmonton. And 2 years later, they won a cup in Edmonton without him, with Messier. So in sport, when you think the impossible can never happen, I would just say there's plenty of examples where it can. And I don't know how the Brown family could continue to operate the Cincinnati Bengals if they trade Joe Burrow. I don't know how their PR arm, and none of this is eminent, I'm sure of it, but I don't know how your PR arm would even go about, because inevitably you'd have to make Burrow be a villain somehow, and good luck with that in Cincinnati. But I do think that what Joe has said in his 3 availabilities over the last week plus, it's noteworthy, and it's been done on purpose. And to me, it should sound some alarm bells down in Cincinnati for what this offseason could bring.
It's the old, if there's smoke, there's fire type thing out there. And man, there's a lot of smoke all of a sudden. Bo, you said that they would have to somehow make Burrow the villain. I don't know if they would, because I've heard from a lot of Bengals fans, and I don't think this is the majority.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of them out there that were like, they love Burrow so much that they're like, Dad, he's never going to win here, so trade him somewhere where he can win. And that almost seems crazy to think, but there's a lot of people out there that I've heard say that.
That would be one you'd have to put that on the poll. Like, if you're a Bengal fan, I mean, how would you phrase that? So essentially what they're saying is, I don't blame him.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how you continue to operate the team if you trade him. I mean, I don't think I'm overstepping here. My perception is, and I certainly was not as familiar at the time, but getting to know him over the last decade or so, it feels to me like Joe Burrow is as popular in Cincinnati as Bernie Kosar was in Cleveland. That's what it feels like to me.
I think that's pretty correct.
Would you fault Joe Burrow for wanting to play for a contender before his career's up? Could you fault? Is the question I
wonder.
Is that
how you pose it? Yeah. From a Bengals fan perspective, the problem is we're going to get non-Bengals fans. But it would really be for Bengals fans specifically, right, Reese? Like, how can you...
Yeah.
I guess the best example of it that we have would be if at the end of LeBron's first tenure in Cleveland, and that team was not going to win it, and they kept hitting their head against the wall, and the counter would be, yeah, but he wouldn't commit, and all those other things. But, like, did LeBron have to leave for Cleveland to eventually win a title? And I think now we can say the answer to that is yes, because that's how you got the influx of talent. They were so mismanaged with the draft that there was no way, had he stayed in Cleveland, that they were going to win a title, as great as he was.
Bo, it's similar but not exact, because they obviously weren't as close to winning as the Bengals have been with Burrow, but it was almost like Rick Nash asking to be traded from Columbus in that trade, and obviously it hasn't worked out exactly how Columbus wanted, but yeah. It was kind of the trade that kickstarted the decade run that was the best run for the Blue Jackets. They got Dubinsky, they got Anisimov, they ended up getting Bob, not through that trade, but
right.
And it was almost the thing that kind of kickstarted the decade run that the Jackets had that culminated with Torts and the Tampa series.
Yeah, that's on a lower level, that's probably pretty fair. And then Nash got to the Cup final with the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Rangers played they didn't win it, but they got to the Cup final with him.
Would you have considered Baker at the time Rick Nash was in his athletic prime?
Yeah.
Are we thinking the same thing about Joe Burrow, though?
I still do.
Yeah.
I still do. I still think when healthy, he's a top four quarterback in the league, for sure. But it's a fascinating one.
Such a big if, though, too.
It is. It's fair. And the injuries are certainly part of it. But it is something to certainly pay attention to. I'm glad you're back, Reese, for a litany of reasons. But as an Ohio graduate, I want to ask you, what in the blue hell is going on down there? So we're going to get into that coming up next, and continue to monitor this Burrow stuff down in Cincinnati. Lots of college football on the program as well today, off and running on a Thursday edition, Bishop and Friends, right here on the Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our host have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Bye, the meatloaf!
The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Hey, Max, you look absolutely dashing in that purple tie. Ready to harness the world?
You bet, Daisy. I'm ready as I'll ever be. And might I say, your purple tie really pops with your vest.
Thanks. I almost went with a cape, but didn't want to come across as pretentious.
Nonsense. Anyone in our line of work should rock a cape.
You might be onto something, Max.
Phew. So, here we go. First day on the job. You've got this, right?
Right. Don't forget, we both graduated from Dogs, Inc. with honors.
Which means I can guide my human around a busy city with ease.
And I can give my human a restful night.
I hope my human is kind and loving.
And I hope mine likes wet kisses and zoomies.
Ready to make a difference?
Born ready. Let's go.
Discover how extraordinary dogs like Daisy and Max change lives at no cost to the recipients. Visit dogsinc.org.
What's the best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
I don't know.
Download the Fan app, silly.
Ah, damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now. Let's take a listen back to when we were awesome. You're listening to the best of Bishop and Friends. The Fan. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right. Yesterday, this comes to light, finally comes to our head, I suppose. Ohio University fired head football coach Brian Smith for cause on Wednesday, saying Smith violated his contract by engaging in serious professional misconduct and participating in activities that reflect unfavorably on the university. Now, the university did not provide specifics on the misconduct. Smith, 8-4, his first season as the Bobcats head coach. We had him on. They beat WVU week one, Reese.
Yep.
And we had him on.
Before the Ohio State game.
Yeah. Smith's attorney, Rex Elliott, with this statement, we vigorously dispute Ohio University's grounds for the termination for cause of Coach Brian Smith. He is shocked and dismayed by this turn of events, and we plan to fight this wrongful termination to protect his good name. Coach Smith is an ethical man who has done an exemplary job for the university. He wants nothing but the best for the players, coaches, and the entire Bobcat community. Reese, what's the real truth?
Well, so as a lot of you probably know, when you're emotionally connected to a university or you cover a big-time college football program and you start to hear rumors, you hear everything from minor things to this, your head coach or this head coach planned to assassinate the president. So you hear all of those, you know, rumors, and none of it's really been alleged yet other than what The Athletic found via a public records request that he was reprimanded in November 24th, for having alcohol in the locker room. And the official...
It was his office, right?
It was his office after a game. What they're alleging is a toast of bourbon with some of the coaches. Now, the rumors that are out there are of infidelity. And what is out there is a divorce that's been made public, and he sold his house. Now, that certainly, if the infidelity rumors would fly in the face of him, you know, coming on this very show and talking about family and how important that is. And so you would certainly not want the coach that represents something you love to be engaged in stuff that flies against what he portrays outwardly. So disappointing if those rumors turn out to be the case. If it's the alcohol and providing the alcohol to coaches or staffers or even players that are of drinking age, I don't think that's cause enough. So there's got to be more to this for them to come out with that kind of a statement. Because if they what his lawyer is saying, what Brian Smith's lawyer is saying, is there's nothing to see. This is wrong. My client's being done dirty. Mm-hmm. He's an ethical man. Then they fired him without cause, and they owe him $2.5 million. And Ohio Athletics doesn't have just $2.5 million laying around. They can do this.
It can't just be for the alcohol.
It can't, right.
I mean, there's no way. I mean, like, you can't have a bottle in... I mean, he's a grown man. You can't have a bottle in your... It'd be one thing if he was coaching Upper Arlington High School, right? I mean, that would be different. Like, he's coaching on a college campus. And so, like, if he had a bottle in his desk and wants to have a sip and toast to victory, now, you can't be on the sidelines hammered, and you can't be doing those type of activities. But in terms of just like having a bottle and, hey, boys, great job. Here's to you. Here's to me. Great win. Whatever. I mean, that can't be it. This has been such a weird story, though, because he was suspended for cause for what? Like a month?
Yeah. This was December 1st. I think we came on the air December 2nd and had less information, just as many questions December 2nd as we do now. I mean, nothing that was done yesterday has really explained anything. It's provided a little bit more context, maybe a little bit more, but I'd figured, you know, if the athletic director removes him from campus, that's probably it. And that looks, obviously with yesterday's news, that is the case. It's done. And so John Hauser's going to lead the Bobcats in the Frisco Bowl next Tuesday, I believe that game is. And then they're going to be looking for their third head coach in as many years. So that stinks. But the idea that they fired him, and now, as vague as the statement was,
right,
was what really concerned me yesterday. Because if you have all of this information, enough to terminate him for cause, tell people. Put that in the statement as well. But to just say what they did and then to give no other context and then have the Athletic and the ESPN had other reporting that backed up what they had found for a public records request still isn't enough to go off of firing a football coach.
It sure seems like there's something much, much bigger here.
Yes.
And maybe they can't say anything because of pending litigation.
Oh, they're going to court. Yeah.
But even not that, like not litigation with him. I'm just saying maybe there's something bigger in the legal system coming here with Coach Smith. So it sure seems like there's something bigger, or this is just a new AD that wants to get his guy, and they're trying to find every loophole they can to not pay him.
It feels to me like it's the former more than the latter.
Yeah, I think because that the new athletic director of Ohio, I think and really hope that this is the case. He's doing what he believes in the best interest of Ohio University and the athletic program. That is his job.
You know, with all this stuff, and I mean, some of this, and who knows about, I mean, the Smiths, it's all rumor and innuendo on the Smith stuff, aside from what the Athletic found in terms of, you know, having the bottle in his desk and toasting with coaches. And to me, that's no chance. That's a fireable offense. Good luck with that. I think you'd lose in a court of law on that. The other one, the rumors that are out there, is it's hard for, I don't want to give too much credit to those until there's something a little bit more concrete on that, but certainly you hear those things. But in light of what happened at Michigan and the way that that all kind of unfurled over the course of the last week and them trying to dig out of all of that, I couldn't help but wonder, like before social media, before camera phones and smartphones, and before there was all this accounting for everything, what was going on? Like, how much was happening?
Man,
thank goodness we didn't grow up in this era.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it is a point now where this is, and I tell this to my boys all the time, like, if you do bad, it will come to light. You are not, and rightfully so, by the way. Rightfully so. You're misbehaving, you will be found out. There is no getting away with anything anymore, which is a wonderful thing. And I think at times it really sheds poorly light on the institutions. I mean, you think of this stuff that's still trickling out at Michigan and how long they knew and where the cover-up began. I mean, this just keeps going further and deeper and deeper. I'm not suggesting that that's necessarily anything in the vicinity of that happened at Ohio. But the idea that they acted the way they did as quickly as they did in the middle of a year and said, just go away. You can't help but connect some dots and say it feels inevitable that a lot more was going on behind the scenes. He wasn't even there that long. It was just one. What was he, the interim?
Yeah, he was the interim this time last year.
Yeah.
And so they'd won the MAC championship. Tim Albin takes the Charlotte job. And here's Brian Smith. And sometime during the season, so that Ohio's new athletic director gets there in September, and sometime between September and November, he signs a new contract that put him there through 2030.
Yeah.
So that's where I look to, if there was anything about this that had come to light before the new contract was signed, boy, you put yourself in a real tough spot knowing what the buyout is for the contract, and especially with the actions done in early December, sending him home, and then yesterday's statement, it's like, all right, you've got to have something concrete. But tell us what that is, right?
Absolutely. And I think the other thing is that you just shed light on there for the folks, because we're usually talking about the Ohio State University, and we're talking about football at the very highest level, and we watch as nobody bats an eye at paying a $75 million buyout or a $54 million buyout. At this level, $2.5 million is a lot of money.
It's for those schools, it's crippling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a totally different sport, and yet they're all competing for the same championship. Speaking of competing for championships, the Buckeyes will do so over the course of the month of January. They will do so armed with perhaps the most decorated roster they've ever had. And I understand that's saying a lot. We'll get to that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It was so good the first time, we had to shove it down your ear hole again. This is the best of Bishop and Friends on the Fan. Ohio sports destination. They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Well, we now know who the Buckeyes will play when they play next. They will do so on New Year's Eve. They will do so in Arlington, Texas at Jerry World. They will do so against the Miami Hurricanes, a team who went into College Station on Saturday morning-ish, 11 a.m. local, and beat Texas A&M. I think this is kind of what... Isn't this where we kind of settled on, Bake, that we kind of were hoping it would be Miami? There were some, maybe I wanted A&M. I wanted to beat A&M because of those Yell Leader guys.
Yeah, I think you That's wanted right. to beat A&M in Texas and in their home. I wanted Miami just because I always love beating the U, and there's just always a fondness with beating them with the 0-2 national championship game for me. So anytime you can smack Miami around, that makes me feel good.
I tell you what, if you want to go see this one, you can go see it at a reasonable number. If you want to go, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
It's not Montana State prices.
Think about what you just said, and you said it without an ounce of hyperbole or being sarcastic or anything. The cheapest ticket to get to Montana State 1AA semifinal on Saturday was well over $600. Right now, and this will only go down, right now you can get into Miami, Ohio State for $100. Wow. $100 in Dallas, you can get in. So over 600 for a 1AA semifinal game for $100, you can get into this thing. Some of that is Miami and the apathy that comes with that program. And some of it is, and I just had this conversation with two diehard Buckeye alumnus, diehard Buckeye fans. Have gone to every Ohio State Michigan game for 20 some years, home and away. And I just had that conversation. I said, are you going to go to Dallas? They said, no, I think we're saving up. I think we're going to do the Fiesta Bowl. So that's the decision. This goes to what you were talking about, Rhyme Time. This goes to the decision that these suits are putting on fans that, and again, they don't care about the in-arena. They don't care about that. This is a television show. This is why it's 7:30 on New Year's Eve. This is why you're going to play national semifinals on Thursdays and Friday nights, because you're making television shows. But the reality is that if they really wanted this to have an environment, this game would be here. It would be here in town. Then you'd have a tough ticket. Mm-hmm. Then you'd have an environment. Then you'd have all that comes with it. And that's something that at some point they have to divorce themselves from these bowls, because it just makes no sense at all to be able to do this. Now, you watch Miami play, and I see a defensive line that looks pretty good, and that's kind of the only pause I have. Obviously, they have an ultimate weapon in the freshman wide receiver that is a little bit dangerous. But I have a hard time seeing a scenario where Carson Beck is going to carve up this Ohio State defense in any way. And the idea that the University of Miami paid that kid like $4.5 million to quarterback them this year is just stupefying to me. But they did. And guess what? I'm not alone in this. The opening spread for this thing is 9.5. Buckeyes by 9.5 in the quarterfinal.
It's actually ticked down.
Now what is it?
When it first came out, it was depending on where you went. Some places had it 10.5, some had 11.5, and it immediately dropped down to 9.5 where whatever they had it at before. And I think it's pretty much 9.5 everywhere now. So it was a little higher when it came out.
Jeez.
Which is interesting, because before the game was played, if you remember, they put out early look-ahead lines, and if Texas A&M would have won, it was Ohio State by 7.5. If Miami would have won, it was 8.5. So the odds makers were like, neither of these teams can play offense. Let's bump this up a little bit.
I felt like just that game was so gross, and I felt like going into it, I felt like Ohio State was going to be favored by a touchdown no matter whoever they played. But, yeah, I feel more confident about it now.
It's interesting. You were talking about them, Bo. And Tony's the real deal. He's a problem. That freshman is a heck of a wide receiver. And Mark Fletcher, there's a reason Ohio State recruited him. He's a decent running back.
Yeah.
I would think if I'm Ohio State, and they're not going to do this, but Scotty and I were talking about this yesterday. I would almost man up on Tony. Mm-hmm. And make Carson Beck and him beat you. Make him put Matthews on him, maybe, and let
like the old Bill Belichick.
Yes.
Like he's going to go 10 for 128, but nobody else is getting anything, and Beck's going to throw two picks doing it.
Yeah, and who knows if he does, because Carson will throw the ball to you. chances are. And Ohio State has, Tony's really good, but Ohio State has really good guys in the secondary too. I would almost man up on him and just dare them to beat me with him.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. That's the old Belichick way a little bit. Like, okay, go get yours, but nobody else is getting anything, and banking on the quarterback throwing it to the other team. Look, there's a little juice that's residual from the national championship game 20 plus years ago. There's a little bit of juice from that. It was funny though. I was reading the Skull Session this morning on 11 Warriors, and they put in there a clip of an Ohio State Miami game from 2010 that was played here. And I was at the game. I covered the game because I went to all the Buckeye games at that point. And, so I'm watching this thing. I'm watching this highlight package, and I'm sitting here as I'm watching it going, I have no recollection of any of this. None. There was two punt return touchdowns. Miami had two punt return touchdowns in the game. Ohio State won 34-20. I vividly remember losing to Miami down there, Joe Bozerman at quarterback in that game. I remember that. I had forgotten that Ja'Cory Harris was the quarterback of Miami. He had a really rough day. And then at the end of the highlight package, they show a play that is intercepted by Cam Hayward. And he returns at 80 yards, and you think he's going to score, but he doesn't. And I went, oh, the Cam Hayward game. Then I remembered it. But I had no recollection, really, of that game at all. Terrell Pryor threw a couple of touchdowns, a high point ball to Brandon Sain. Our guy, Devere Posey, had a really nice game. Pryor's about a 50% completion percentage in the game, and Ohio State won, I think, 34-20 or something like that. But I have very little recollection of a lot of the plays that happened in the game, and I don't know if it's just that I'm getting old, which is possible, or if it's a factor of it was a largely forgettable game. And so they did play those two games.
Well, Bo, it's because it doesn't count as a win.
Oh, this is the fake
game. It's erased. So that's why nobody remembers it. It never happened according to the records in the NCAA.
I'll tell you this. There is, if you get Miami, you get Michael Irvin.
And oh, gosh.
He acts like he still plays.
He is a 60-year-old man. He is a 60-year-old man. He is a delight as a human. I've interviewed him a couple of times. He's everything that you would want him to be. There is no... He is the epitome. I know this is Schlegs' line, but he is the epitome of all gas, no brakes. Like, just no... Just blows through it. And when I'm seeing him on the sideline just sweating, just dripping sweat, and he was at the Jake Paul thing on Friday night. So he went to the Jake Paul thing on Friday night. I should say the Anthony Joshua thing on Friday night. And then he was in College Station for an 11 a.m. kick. He was shot out of a cannon and just dripping sweat.
Do you think he even went to sleep, or was he just chemically enhanced the whole night?
Oh, no. I think it's a mainline of white powdery substance just straight.
It's 90s Miami still going strong.
There's no question. It's Tony Montana. I mean, I just don't understand. I mean, I'm like 15 years younger than him, and like the idea that I have like a cocktail. Like, this guy just goes straight through. It was nuts to see that.
How many times do you think he gets shown during the game?
Oh my God.
I guess maybe what would the line be? Like, maybe would it be like 3, 4.5?
No, I think it might be more because he even finds the camera. They're interviewing Cristobal, and he goes and interrupts that like he's a little kid. Like, that'd be something like Bootsy would do. Like, hey, Dad. Like, he's interrupting the thing. And like, he's a 60-year-old man.
And he's a member of the media. He understands how this works.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a 60-year-old man interrupting a head coach so he can be on television. Like, that happened. Man, steady die to him. And then who is the other one that they... Oh, the adult film. Or I don't even know if they do that anymore. I guess she's OnlyFans now, but she was getting a steady die to camera time on Saturday as well. So they were pretty locked in.
I didn't pay attention to that. I didn't see this.
You didn't see this? Jake, you know what I'm talking about?
I don't think I know what you're talking about either.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Do I need to look this up? Not on a work
not
computer?
Here.
Not on a
not
work
here,
computer?
Not here, you don't. Not here. Wait till you get home. Yeah, the directors were pretty locked in on Miami culture, I would say.
Was Sherrone Moore in her DMs too?
Jeez. Whose wasn't he in? That's funny. I had a Michigan, a buddy of mine's a Michigan alumnus, and we were talking last night, and he was like, how? He goes, we won 9 games, and he was doing this at halftime. Imagine if he just would have had, like, some adjustments. And I went, well.
Poggi was on those. He didn't need to worry about it.
Pretty good point. Pretty good point out of that. Your college football playoff quarterfinals are set. We will rank our interest in them and get an early read on all 4 matchups coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Listen up. Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Are you spending your New Year's Eve? Unless your answer involves 13 and a half hours of Buckeye pregame coverage, you're doing it wrong. From 6 a.m. till kickoff at 7:30, we're live and local. Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan. Let's take a listen back to when we were awesome. You're listening to the best of Bishop and Friends. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Connect with the show on X at 971BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are, and we are proudly sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. I was there Saturday morning picking up a little something-something for the blondie, who, of course, thinks I only do a one-hour radio show. So don't worry. Nothing's going to be spoiled there.
How was she over the weekend? Is she over the murder dog, or is she still worried?
Now she's worried about some of the odors that are coming from the dog. So now she's concerned that the murdering has now led to multiple murders that are just unknown. Did she have, if you're asking, like, did in fact she call Orkin to Orkin the Woods? Yes, that happened. So, yeah, if you're just catching up, Buddy Garrity killed a mouse. He brought it into the house. She called me in a panic middle of last week. It's a mouse. It's in the house. Buddy killed it. Buddy killed it. Mouse. Oh. And Bootsy ended up shoveling it out of the basement and throwing it into the woods. And then she, Jacob, did utter the words, is he a murder dog?
I was like, what did I miss here?
Yeah.
My God.
And then she's like, well, is he going to eat it? I said, honey, if he was going to eat it, it would already be eaten.
That's a true point. It'd be gone.
It's gone. Like, he doesn't chew. He just swallows.
Murder dog may or may not end up in a show promo here soon. So.
Well, you can replace it with the one that says we can find out what Bo looks like. I was on television in this town for 15 years. I think everybody knows what I look like at this point.
That was a long time ago, Bo.
It's been a minute since I have. Look, if you're a Browns fan, I don't know how, when I'm watching what happened to Quinshon Judkins yesterday, I just think I was literally texting a buddy of mine, and I work the Browns, and I love the people that are there, but it's almost like we can't have nice things.
It's exactly what I said.
Like, how does that happen? How does that happen on an innocuous play in Miles is trying to track down the sack record, but, and you want to see Shadur play well, but like, how does that happen? How? Like, you, it's just, so much, so many things. It's like, how much can you take on? And to have that, he was such a bright spot, and everyone had talked about the season he's having has not been done justice because he gets hit behind the line of scrimmage. I think he has 60, it's like 60 yards this year that happened, you know, where he gets beyond the line of scrimmage without being hit. Like, you compare that to James Cook, like, the statistics on it are just stupefying. And so now he's done, and he's out for a while. And you, of course, the natural thing is, will he ever be the same? And that's fair. But it just sucks. It just sucks. Just one more thing that sucked.
I just saw something from a Cleveland news station too, Bo. James Cook is still running in Cleveland. Like, he's still like on the, just running around the streets. Nobody can stop him. Goodness.
I had the thought during the game before the injury happened. I was like, Quinshon can be a real nice piece for them and be a stud in this league. He's been awesome. And then, yeah, of course, then that happens, and I just feel horrible. Yeah. It looked awful.
It did. And so who knows, you know, what all of that is. I think the two things that you're tracking down from a Browns fan perspective is, does Miles get the sack record? Does he get it in his 16th game, which will have to come next week? That's going to have to come next week. Or does it get to the 17th game? And now you're, you know, then you got all that comes with that. I mean, he's had this for a while now. He needs a sack. He got a half sack, a credit for a half sack over the weekend. He needs one sack to break this thing.
We might as well drag it out amid some intrigue on week 7 or week 18. It was reason to watch.
Him, if you're him, you don't want the asterisk, right?
No, I understand. I
like, get it.
It
done in the
16. Just saying, give us something we want to watch something at least in the final week of the season.
Do you want to get it at home, too?
Yeah, you don't want it down in Cincinnati, I don't think. I think you want it to be at home. They're at home this weekend. It's hard for me. I mean, Shedeur Sanders does a handful of things every game that I go, that is NFL quarterback, big time throw. He does it. There's a handful of it. But then he also takes a sack on 4th and 2 with the game still in the mix. You know, so there's that stuff that happens too. He's a young quarterback. He is a 5th round pick. It's going to be a very difficult thing to try to figure out, I think, if you're them, how they approach this offseason at that position, because they have so many other needs as well. I mean, they got a litany of needs, receiver, offensive line, chief among them. So I think it's going to be very fascinating how this all plays out with him and them up there, because they're tied at the hip now.
And have you seen enough to move forward with him to where you can draft other needs? Do you have to take another lottery shot? Do you have to take one in the first round? It's so many questions. And Do we even trust? I don't think fans do trust the people that are going to be making the decisions. Do we know who's going to be making the decisions?
All of those are valid. That's all valid. That's why it's going to be a crazy next couple of weeks up there as all of it shakes out. One of the easier ones to pick over the weekend was Cincinnati doing what it did to Miami. You could see that coming. Kind of odd press availabilities from Burrow all week, and, you know, warm weather down in Miami. The former Buckeye transfer quarterback bowl with Burrow and Ewers. Looks like, I didn't see this game, but it looks like Ewers played okay. 20 of 30 for 260. I mean, that's more than they've been doing with Tua in terms of throwing the ball down the field in a long, long time. So it looks like they did okay. But you could see the Burrow performance happening, that was coming on that side of things. And he went nuts, 309 for 4 touchdowns. Couple other ones in the AFC. I mean, Baltimore's not officially out of it, but they're done. They're cooked. I mean, like, Josh Allen, your turn, buddy. Go win the AFC. If not now, when? It's all there for you. And I know we'll do a lot of NFL yesterday, but I did want to get this day because I teased it earlier. Crazy finish to Steelers-Lions. So here is, if you miss it, you've probably seen it by now, unless you're, you know, like Peterman in a cave in Burma. So you probably have some knowledge of this, but it was Amon-Ra St. Brown caught it, lateraled it. Jared Goff caught it for what would have been the game-winning touchdown. But there was a pass interference that happened before. Here's the final call on CBS.
With the season in the balance, Goff fires at the one. He didn't get across, but there are flags down. Ball ends up in the hands of Goff. He goes across. Did they have a whistle first?
There's so many things on this level that I just saw. Could be offensive pass interference, actually. And then they actually did score. When did the whistle get blown? Oh! Too much for me. You go ahead, Jim.
This is like the 2-point play in Seattle the other night.
Yeah, exactly.
What is going on here?
This could be on the offense. I know everyone expects it to be on the defense. I'm just saying it could be.
The Steeler bench is out onto the field. I mean, they basically are like ready to walk in as if they've won it and heading home for a victory. Is this going to be a call against Pittsburgh to keep this game alive? Goff is making an appeal. Probably wanted to point out, hey, I scooped up the ball and scored anyway.
Let's hear the call right here. What a major call.
Really on the field is a touchdown, however.
Oh, my goodness.
Number 14 on the offense. By rule, that penalty is not enforced and there is no replay, the game is over.
Whoa.
There is no touchdown.
Whoa!
OPI and number 14 negates the penalty. There is no replay. The game is over.
All right. Is that one of the biggest? That's why I wanted to play it. Is that one of the biggest botchings of a referee?
Just
of
cruel.
Describing what happened in the history of sport?
It's just cruel.
Isn't the first thing out of your mouth, there was a flag for offensive pass interference. It negates the touchdown. The game is over. That's how you deliver that, brother.
Yeah.
Like, you do not say touchdown, all of the nonsense. Like, no. How long did it take people in Detroit to realize they didn't win? Like a minute?
Yeah, they were not happy.
Good grief.
Also, why did it sound like Tony Romo there had a dog jump on his stomach? Like, you're laying on the couch and the dog jumps.
Yeah, he does. It's been a rough year for Tone. Austin Ward in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Men, it's
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
After my accident, people warned me to slow down. I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/PSA.
Wrinkles, gray hair, and hearing loss are common signs of getting older. But being short of breath, having tightness in your chest, coughing, and wheezing are not. If you are experiencing these symptoms, you may be one of the millions of people who are living with a condition called COPD but don't know it. Early diagnosis and treatment can add years of better breathing to your life. For more information, talk to your doctor and visit copdfoundation.org today.
Always and forever, your Ohio State flagship station.
WBNSFM HD1 Columbus.
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. It was so good the first time, we had to shove it down your ear hole again. This is the best of Bishop and Friends on The Fan. Ohio's sports destination. 10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Thursday edition of the program. At this time, every week, we open up that mailbag. Go ahead, boys.
Our comment box is always open. Any feedback is mostly appreciated.
The mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more. You've got to get it up. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in. Again.
Bishop and Friends present Emails.
Sponsored by Nationwide Children's Hospital. Donate today to light up the lawn and light up the life.
Now, I did, just for full transparency, I did get an update from Top Man, and efforts are being made so that if you go... Still no.
Still efforting?
Still efforting.
Guys.
Efforts are being made that if you go through the website and email, that we can eventually see those. But we're going on about a month without that. So the emails that we're getting are folks who are just emailing me directly at bo.bishop@tegna.com or at radioohio.com. Either one gets to me. But that's what we're getting now. So I still can't see the ones that go through the website. And I know there's hundreds of them back there, but we're not able to see those right now as it stands. But efforting. So it's been quite the effort. It's been quite the effort to get this done, so hopefully we'll get it done. But we do have a good bag here, so let's start with this one. A lot on the Michigan scandal. Let's start with this one from Doug. Bo, is there currently a dirtier football program in the NCAA than Michigan the last 3 to 5 years? An athletic department in more chaos? Better them than us? No. No, I don't think that there is. And I think this is why Ward Manuel's going to be gone too. I mean, several leads about Michigan, so we'll have a bigger conversation about Michigan football here at the end of all this. This one from Andy. Is now finally enough to break lack of to bring lack of institutional control. Sheesh. Happy holidays. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate that. This one from Nick. Gentleman Reflog just posted a picture of Sharone Moore saying this Sharone Moore story is insane. Then he reposted something, quote tweeting, that the Netflix doc is going to be crazy. Reading that just hit me. In order to rehab his image, granted it'll take time, but he could roll on Michigan and reveal everything about Connor Stallions. I mean, we all know it, but nobody was ever confessed to it. Thoughts? If you are a power broker up there, how would you begin to fix this and clean it? That to me, if you're on that board of regents, I see no scenario where it's anything other than a complete house cleaning. I think it's going to have to be a complete divorce of anything related to Harbaugh, anything related to the Harbaugh regime. And I think it's going to be one of those things that, from their perspective, is viewed differently than the way it's viewed everywhere else in the country. That in Ann Arbor, for Michigan fans, they will revel in the winning streak against Ohio State. They will revel in that national championship. But everywhere else in the country, it will have asterisks, and it'll be it's going to be viewed in an entirely different way. And to me, short of cleaning house with everybody, I don't know how you accomplish that. And I'm curious, like, if you're Desmond Howard or Charles Woodson or Tom Brady or anybody who's a prominent, quote, Michigan man, how do you want this to go?
Away.
Sure.
You want it how? To go. I think they live in such a different reality, the Michigan man.
Do you think they still do, though, Reese, or do you think this hits home, finally? I mean, do you think this is like, okay.
This might be a crack in the facade for them, but I think once they get a new head coach, then it maybe stiffens back up a little bit. Certainly, it would have to. I don't know what Ward Manuel's still doing there. So that's where I hesitate in all of this. Because Ward Manuel's still got a job, and he should not.
Don't you think they're trying to find more so they can fire him for cause?
Probably. I'm guessing so. That's my guess. That's what I was going
to
say.
Trying to prove he knew. You remember when I asked this to John Eubanks? Or no, it was Angelique. I asked, when did they know what they knew? Like, so that's what I think the independent investigation is about, Bake. It's about, when did Ward Manuel know what he knew?
Well, and it sounds like at least 18 months.
I guess you have to wait for that to officially come out. So you have to let that process take its time, however long John, you called it like the white shoe law firm, come in and do their full report and give the findings, and then you act off of those findings.
Yeah.
But I also wonder, you don't have a whole lot of time between now and January 2nd.
Well, that brings up the next part of it, which is the reality of how is this anything other than them punting on next season? I don't see how they could field a competitive team. I mean, who could you hire that could keep all of it together? That whole roster is going to be poached, and it's a good roster.
It's really
including
good
an $11 million quarterback. Like, that's all going to be poached January 2nd. And then once they hire a coach, it's 15 days added on to that for the recruiting class.
I think the when I wonder how in-depth this supposal internal investigation goes up there and what all they find, if that'll be like, okay, we've just got to scrub all of this. We've got to get rid of everyone. We've got to bring all new in, and we've got to start over fresh here with this thing. But as you mentioned, you've got to do that pretty quickly because you've got to get a head coach. Because I can't believe a head coach, and I do think that most head coaches still believe that's a premier job, and they think that they can turn it around and fix it. But I don't know if they want to go there if more things are coming. They're going to want to know.
Aren't they still playing Texas on New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Biff Pogi
and the boys.
Just elevate him then. You know what?
Sleeves off.
It's crazy. It truly is. There is still, and I saw Heather Dinich talking about this, there is still belief that they're getting DeBoer. If they somehow come out of this with Kalen DeBoer coaching Michigan, I just common sense wise, I can't see it. Like, how could it be so bad at Bama? You've got the number two quarterback recruit in the country last year who's waiting in the wings to take over for Ty Simpson, a guy you recruited. You have back-to-back top five recruiting classes in the country at Alabama. Now, I'm sure that their roster is going to be poached, too. I'm sure of that. That there will be, and I think that's just the sport right now. I'm sure every good player in the country is being called and trying to be recruited, so you have to fend that off, but that's not changing at Michigan. So, you just your wife's from Ypsilanti, and you want to try and resurrect this? I guess what it would do is it would probably buy you a great deal of grace that you don't have in Alabama. A long grace period to, like, right the ship. But I can't think of anybody other than him who I would be like, God, you lucky. Maybe Drinkwitz. It's a really short list, though.
Even with all of the mess at Michigan, I still think it's an easier job for Kalen DeBoer to try to revitalize that program than to follow Nick Saban at Alabama.
No pressure.
That's fair.
So it's Saturday is going to be interesting, I think, from that standpoint, because you're going to try to play football games, have meaningful football games played, all while with what happens in Norman Friday night could have ramifications greater than just that game itself. Because if they get crushed and his seat all of a sudden goes from a 2 to an 11.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think Alabama will get crushed, but if they lose even, it's still.
But who do they think down there is going to replace him?
Oh, no, Nick Saban will replace.
Oh, he's gonna, sure. Saban's going to come back. Sturdy the ship.
ESPN's college football landing page has Nick Saban on it and said how Nick Saban's fingerprints are all over the CFP. And it's like, come on.
I don't think the ink on Kiffin's contract is dry yet at Tennessee. You can scrub that off, right? If Legend Bay can do it, Kiffin can do it.
I think LSU's the better job now with when you consider the financial ramifications of the LSU job, the fact that you have that state to yourself, you're not battling. I mean, Auburn does win some head-to-heads with Alabama. Like LSU, you have it to yourself. And Baton Rouge is a much bigger city than Tuscaloosa. But, I mean, I think all of those things are going to be fascinating. And this is one, too, that you think about. Like, we've used the Danny Ocean example a lot, that that Jim Harbaugh got away from it all. But the rest of his co-conspirators all went down. They all went down. And for him, it doesn't matter because he's in the NFL and he's living his best life. But for the rest of them, what was it, 11 different coaches, a combination of either in jail or show causes?
Yeah.
I mean, or arrested 11. Or show causes? 11.
Did you
and this
see
thing could just be in ruins.
Harbaugh and Dan Patrick yesterday, and he was asked about Jerome Moore, and he couldn't keep a straight answer, like in 45 seconds mm-mm. of questioning. Like, he could not help, like, just lies.
Yeah, I mean, what's he going to say? He made the mess. He made the mess, and who knows where it goes from there. A couple of the good ones, including one that I hadn't considered in regard to some comments we were making. We did the Christmas movie Higher Lower yesterday. A really difficult choice. I'm curious where you guys will go on that. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Picture it. Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
A thing or two about the moments in life that matter. You've seized those moments to embrace joy, accomplish great things, and build meaningful relationships. Is it time now to sit back and reflect on a life well lived? Maybe. Or maybe there's more to be done. Maybe this is the most important moment you've encountered yet. By volunteering with AmeriCorps Seniors, you can seize the moment, lend a hand, and get back more than you give. We connect you to local volunteer organizations with opportunities that fit your schedule and match your interests. Through AmeriCorps Seniors, you can support people in times of need and make your community stronger. You can become a companion to your older neighbors. brightening their days with friendship. You can even become a mentor for young people, serving as a role model and enriching their lives. Are you ready to seize your moment? Visit AmeriCorps.gov/yourmoment and get started today.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Your family might not listen to you, but we will. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
You're welcome. Let's take a listen back to when we were awesome. You're listening to the best of Bishop and Friends. The Fan. The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are, and we are proudly brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. Still thinking about maybe something special? Go check them out. They will take care of you. Tell them Bo sent you, Easton Sawmill. Still time before the big holiday next week. I heard in the weather update there about the wind yesterday, and this is where I'm at with my dad. Like, the things that he's most interested to tell me is the weather. That's really 82%. Of our conversations are about how the weather is here and how the weather is there. And inevitably it'll start with a question about the boys. And then within a couple of minutes, it turns into pretty cold here. So I was talking to him yesterday, 90 mile an hour wind, not gusts, 90 mile an hour wind on the west side of the mountains, which is unheard of. On the east side of the mountains, that happens. Not often, but it does happen. But on the west side of the mountains, there was, in Missoula, there were 90 mile an hour winds. So I was looking at some of the, images from around the state. Multiple instances. I'm talking in the dozens of semi trucks blown over while driving. Like, blown over. Like, the wind hit them and blew them and shut down freeways, interstates. There was one, I saw an image of one that had the truck was pulled over to a guardrail and they chained it. The driver chained it to the guardrail to keep it from blowing over. Now, in case you don't know, a semi truck is quite heavy.
What kind of chain?
Yeah.
A thick one.
It was all chained up next to the guardrail to keep it from blowing over. But there's dozens of, if you Google it, you'll see, like, the Montana winds. Like, there were semi-trucks all over the state blown over.
That must be what happens at 70 and 270 on the west side all the time, because there's always semis flipped over around that curve. Must be what it is, the wind right there. It's really tough on those
just,
things.
Just in that one part.
But is this what we have to look forward to when we're older? Because I feel like my grandma, when I was growing up, only called us if the weather was going to be bad or if milk was on sale at Kroger. That was it. That's the list. Is that going to be us in 20 years?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what you get is like, well, what do we have in common? Nothing. Milk and weather. It's all we got. It's where it is.
Ribeye's under $10 a pound. You better go.
Go get them. Go get them as fast as you can. Oh, by the way, speaking of get them as fast as you can, I know there's not much of the whiskey war left that we did. I've had several people who have said that they've went to various places around the area and that they've sold out. So that is really cool. I still think there might be some at High Bank, but I think that it's going quite quickly.
Highly recommend.
Yeah, very much, which is really cool. So thank you for your support on all of that. A couple more on the email front. Let's start with this one from Josh. But last week was a good week for your Uncle Bo in regard to paying off the bet with my son. Josh writes, when it comes time to pay on your $1,000 bet with your son, you should probably do it with a savings bond. While you will still have a hard time stomaching the idea of shelling out $500 for the bond, you'll have the ultimate satisfaction of knowing your son will have to wait 20 years to see the $1,000. Okay, so he doesn't know this, and he's in school today, but I am not giving him $1,000. Now, he won the bet. And you have to pay up. If he wins the bet and the Carolina Panthers make the playoffs, I will give him $1,000. But I will invest the $1,000. I am not giving that punk $1,000 in cash to go spend on God knows what nonsense. Cologne and sneakers or whatnot. That ain't happening. So, like, he doesn't know that part of it. So even if Carolina gets in, he's not seeing the cold hard cash of it. I might let him touch one $100 bill, but other than that, it's invested. We're not doing that. So in the words of Eddie from Christmas Vacation. It's the gift that keeps on giving all year round. That's going to be his $1,000. It's going to be a more long-term play on that side of things. Dan, thank you very much for the kind words about the show. Really much appreciate that. So thank you on that side of things. This one was interesting. This is a tough one. Barry asked, after some pleasantries about the show, you mentioned that Four Christmases has passed Love Actually as your favorite adult Christmas movie, which it did. This year it happened. And I don't know if just Four Christmases is on all the time. I think that's probably it. And it's much more accessible. It's shorter. Love Actually is really long. It's like 2 hours and 15 minutes. I've seen it a million times. You can cut out 30 minutes of it in your sleep if you want to. But I still think it's great. He continues, got me thinking. Three actors who made their name in adult comedies also made iconic Christmas movies. Vince Vaughn, Will Ferrell and Elf, Chevy Chase and Christmas Vacation. You can only pick one actor's library. Whose do you take? Vaughn, Ferrell, Chase. I don't think Chase is going to be in there because there's not as much and it's a long time ago. But Ferrell Vaughn is a little bit like picking between my kids. That's a toughie. Now, there's crossover. But like what I would say is, I think if the rules of this are trying to choose between Ferrell or Vaughn, I think the crossover stuff would be like Wedding Crashers is a Vince Vaughn vehicle. Anchorman is a Will Ferrell vehicle. Even though Vaughn's in it and even though Ferrell's in it with the cameo at the end.
I'm going to go Vaughn.
Vaughn?
Yeah. This isn't close to me. It's Vaughn, Vince easy? Vaughn all day to me.
No stepbrothers.
That's okay.
I'm okay with that. I get Wedding Crashers.
You get Wedding Crashers?
Do you get Old School?
What do we do with that? We're like Newman. We cut the bike in half.
They're kind of both. Seinfeld. They're kind of both. They're co-leads in that.
Yeah. What do you do with Old School? Is that a Ferrell or a Vaughn?
I would say it counts for both.
I think it's... I guess if I was forced into action, I would say it feels like more of a Ferrell. It's crazy. It's actually like a Luke Wilson.
It's Luke Wilson's the main. But if you're
getting the catalog right, you get that movie anyway.
Yes.
So yeah, but there should be taken Vaughn.
Right, but I guess my point was because I knew this was probably going to come down to a Wedding Crashers versus Anchorman / Step Brothers. It's really a Wedding Crashers Step Brothers conversation.
See,
I prefer Wedding Crashers to Step Brothers. And I've said before, and I'll stand by it forever, I think the from Crab Cakes and Football to The Painting Was a Gift, it's like a little more than an hour. It's like 70 minutes of runtime. I think it's the funniest hour that's ever been put on film. It's just one thing after another. So I would probably, I think I'm going Vaughn too, but Step Brothers is pretty great.
It is.
To me, it's Wedding Crashers and Anchorman. That's what it would come down to. And I'm taking Wedding Crashers all day.
Yeah, I think if you choose Ferrell, or Vaughn, you get Old School. Anchorman, obviously Ferrell, but yeah, it was pretty easy to just choose Vaughn. Because even
and the other thing.
Because you get Swingers.
Swingers.
Well, Swingers is, I mean, that's probably the most influential movie of my college career. Swingers.
I'm also a big fan of The Intern.
Facebook?
Yeah, they're Google. That's a great movie with Wilson and Vaughn.
Yeah. The General Robert Montgomery Carpenter weighing in. Don't forget about Four Christmases. That's what got it started was me pivoting to Four Christmases as my favorite adult Christmas movie now. Like, it had been Love Actually for the longest time, and it's pivoted to Four Christmases, which is unbelievable. Swingers. Dude, you got to remember, like, I'm so old, and I don't even know if, like, the kids know what Swingers is, but I'm so old that when that was an indie flick, there was one copy of it at Blockbuster. I found out about it because when I was like a freshman or sophomore in college, I started getting Esquire magazine and they wrote about it. And so I promise you, I swear to God, I was the only one on campus who had ever seen it or heard of it. And then I watched it and this will come as very little surprise to much of the audience, I just parroted all of the Vince Vaughn lines and acted like they were my own. That's all I did. I was dropping "You're So Money, Baby," all that stuff. Now, a couple years later, it got a little awkward when everybody had seen it. Like, well, dude, your whole act, you stole it. Fair. Maybe I did. Worked for a little bit. I'm probably going Vaughn, too. I think Vaughn is the winner. And I think the other thing with the Vaughn part of it is, if you have to pick one of them as a futures bet, what's Ferrell done recently? It's been a minute. Like, he had that breakup with Adam McKay over the Lakers doc because he wanted to play Jerry Buss. And so you don't see him much anymore. It feels like Vaughn's still in the mix.
I'm just trying to look at what was the last actual movie that Ferrell did. He's in Despicable Me 4, a movie called You're Cordially Invited. But that just was direct to Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'm comfortable with Vaughn.
Yeah.
I think it's Vaughn. I do love Chevy Chase. Love me some Chevy Chase. But he's been off the grid for quite a while. I think Vaughn's a winner of that. But great question, Barry. Greatly appreciate it. Paul Feinbaum in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
When it comes to a gun suicide attempt, all it takes is a moment.
Heather and I had an argument just like any other couple. I was lost. I had snapped, I had a gun, and I was going to take my own life. Heather helped me realize that there was still a life to live for the better of myself, my family. My weapon is now safely put away.
A moment of crisis can happen to anyone. Store your guns, locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Relationship Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Ship and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It was so good the first time,
we had to shove it down your ear hole again.
This is the best of Bishop and Friends on The Fan,
Ohio sports destination.
Bishop and Friends present college football's most polarizing figure.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Come on back to our show, Tim. The audience hates you.
This is ESPN's Paul Feinbaum,
sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs,
contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
Well, buddy, we got a big one, a couple big ones this weekend. Before we get to the games and the playoff and the Heisman and all those other things, though, I did want to start with the chaos to our direct north here in Columbus, up in Ann Arbor. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday, and I was talking to folks up there who I trust. And every time that we start getting into how are you cleaning this up, they keep mentioning Kalen DeBoer. Is that real?
Bo, this is when it comes down to exactly who do you believe. And I've talked to people in the highest position at Alabama, and they maintain that he's not going and he's not leaving. They're working on a new contract. Now, let me preface all that by making the most obvious statement I've ever made to you. This is all taking place before tomorrow night in Oklahoma. And I think that game is that important where a loss of any kind, 1 point or 50 points, is still going to have the same effect. It is going to be a devastating body blow to him. And I think the university would like that game to get out of the way before the next step occurs. So as much as I can tell you, I don't believe Kalen DeBoer is leaving, give me a call about midnight tomorrow.
Okay, so then the follow-up to that would be, if they lose for the third consecutive time to Oklahoma, last year kept them out of the playoff, this year it damn near did. If they lose in the playoff to Oklahoma, they wouldn't move off of him, would they? There's no pressure in that sense. He would just, the seat would be hot next year, or is that wrong?
They will not move off of him. I can tell you that with a great deal of confidence, but I think the question is, what do they come back to him with? I don't think they really wanted to extend his contract. And for what reason, other than Jimmy Sexton's his agent, and that's just the way it happens. But I think they'll be forced into, which means absolutely nothing. We know that. But ultimately, I think if they do lose, I can tell you right now, the fans are going to be against him. I mean, they're mixed as it is, and we're talking about a playoff team. I think you can probably turn the calendar back 52 weeks and relate to that.
Yes. Yes, I can. I very much can. But so, okay, from my perspective and just looking at this from 30,000 feet, I look at a program in ruins at Michigan that does not have a president, that is probably not going to have an athletic director very, very soon, that doesn't have a coach, that could be, there could be even more sanctions coming. Who knows what all of that means? You're going to have a roster that's going to get poached. You're going to have all of these things that are going to happen here over the next month for them up there. And I look at his spot down there, and I know he's got to deal with the Saban stuff, but he's had two really good recruiting classes. He's got Keelan Russell, who's waiting in the wings to take over, the quarterback he picked. And I know there are people calling about Ryan Williams and all of those things, but man, that happens everywhere. How is it so bad? I mean, give for our audience. Now, I've been down there, so I a little better feel for it. But for our audience, can you explain the pressure cooker that would even pique your interest in going to that Michigan mess?
I can't. I really. I mean, I think Kalen DeBoer is a really smart guy. He probably almost certainly wanted the Michigan job last time around. You know, all the connections with Courtney Moore and all that. None of that matters when you have a job like Alabama, and you know the pressure is there. You know Saban's down the street, but it's still better than Michigan. And I wonder if Kalen DeBoer, in many ways, has no interest in Michigan whatsoever, but isn't hanging around waiting to see if Notre Dame opens.
Well, geez. There could be that too, and who knows? Because I think one thing that I've learned in this coaching search, this is, if any of these guys get a sniff from the National Football League, they're gonna investigate and vet that, because of just how backwards all of this all is right now in college football and just how tough the job is. What do you make? You think there's any chance anybody else down there? I keep hearing Drinkwitz a little bit, and obviously he's a Missouri guy. Is there anybody else down there that would make sense and listen to Michigan?
Maybe Clark Lee, but I think Clark Lee was probably more likely at Notre Dame, where he worked under Brian Kelly. Now, all these guys have just agreed to extensions, but let me assure you, agreeing to an extension and signing it are two different things. These things often take a while, as you know. So I don't even know if Kiffin signed his contract yet. I mean, that was an issue last week when DeBoer was going through what he was going through. So, I think everyone's on the table for every job. And I know that sounds cliche, but I also think it's accurate.
I think it is too. And I think, by the way, I think speaking of areas down there in Kiffin, I think every quarterback's up for every job. That was kind of the big thing that happened this week. You had, I think, 13 of the top 20 kids from the Elite 11 in 2023 have either transferred already or will transfer or in the portal right now, including DJ Legue down at Florida. Let's do the Kiffin thing quickly here. From Lane's perspective, as he tries to build LSU, does he have the necessary means to go get those type of players and put them on that Tigers roster?
Most certainly. I mean, I don't think anybody probably is better equipped right now with an active fan base and NIL than Lane Kiffin. Now, I can't tell you, there are no ceilings down there, as we know, but I do think he is capable of doing whatever he wants to do.
You'd mentioned Clark Lee. Diego Pavia had a rough weekend at the Heisman, obviously, and then had the apology the following day, which I'm sure was agent-driven. It didn't seem like something that would come out of his mouth necessarily. I give a little grace, who knows, but big picture at Vanderbilt and Clark Lee. This is a program that was a doormat for its entire existence, but they got a lot of money. They're the hottest school in the country in terms of kids wanting to go there. Massive expansion. Sustainability at Vanderbilt is what?
I think it's the same as Indiana, because they were the exact same football program, except one was a private first-class university and the other one was Indiana. The difference between Indiana and Vanderbilt, though, is that Vanderbilt is located down the street from one of the hottest areas in the country, and that is Nashville. And young people are flocking to Nashville for a myriad of reasons. You tell me, Bo, who would want to spend 5 minutes in Bloomington, Indiana?
In the words of Johnny Depp's character playing the actual character John Dillinger, there's absolutely nothing I want to do in Indiana. So I'm on your side with that one about as big as possible, my friend. Let's get into these games. It starts on Friday night, tomorrow night. It is Alabama-Oklahoma. It's the headliner of this whole operation, I think, although obviously we're interested in Texas A&M and Miami up here, and we'll get to that with you in a second. What is your read on Bama at Oklahoma on a Friday night?
There's no rationale to what I'm about to say, but I like Alabama. And part of it has to do with I watched the pregame, and there was no doubt in my mind Alabama was the better team. They did everything they could to throw the game away at home. Now, some of you are saying, do you realize where this game is? Yes, I've got a plane ticket in my hand right now. But it's just, I'm not a big believer in Oklahoma. They have skated past the last part of the season. Their two signature wins were at Tennessee, which is a four-loss team, and at Alabama, which is now a three-loss team. They lost to the best two teams on the schedule, at home against Ole Miss and, of course, against Texas. Mateer is not the same quarterback he was before the thumb injury. In fact, he doesn't appear to be even a good quarterback right now, let alone the guy who, in September, by the way, was the Heisman favorite. But there have been a few of those already. So I like Alabama.
All right, let's go to the one on Friday, and this is the one that it just stinks. This isn't a night game, and I understand why you have to. You don't want to schedule against the NFL, and that's part of that calendar discussion you and I have all the time. But my goodness, College Station at night on a Saturday welcoming Miami is something very different when it's at noon. What is your read kind of on that one? And obviously, the Buckeyes will get the winner.
Yeah, I favor A&M. I'm still not a big believer in Miami. And let me just go back to what you said. This game starts at 11 a.m. local time, oh Bo. God, I mean, just absolutely absurd that this should be primetime Saturday night, just like last year with Ohio State and Tennessee. But because college football running away from the NFL on Saturday night on its premier weekend, we get this game just kind of stuffed down our throat while most of us are waking up going Christmas shopping.
It's a great point, man. I forgot about the 11 o'clock. It's Central Time. At some point, yeah. I mean, just go head-to-head with them. And the people are going to watch. You're still going to get your eyeballs. And it's going to be, I think it would be massive, Paul. There's enough interest for that not to be at night is utterly shameful. And I do want to give you credit. You said something last year in the first run through the playoff, and you and I were talking, and you brought up that point of how much interest, and of course you're the worldwide leader and all of those things, but how much interest do they have in college football? And this time of year, not much, because you're getting into the NFL and all of the stuff that comes with that. And with Ohio State not being involved in that first round game this year, buddy, it feels like that the games aren't even happening. There's so little talk about it. It's crazy to me. And I just hope that there's some sort of leadership, and you talk to the people in that leadership, that can get this thing right so that these games are put on a spot that they can flourish.
You know, I remember I was in Austin last year for the 11 a.m. Clemson. No, excuse me. It was a 2:30 game. And after the game, I rushed to the airport. And, the game in Columbus was about to start. But people in Austin were not even talking about the game that had just got finished playing in their town. I mean, it was massive. I mean, listen, if you've ever been to an airport on the Saturday before Christmas, yes, you know what I'm talking about. That's all people were doing. Kids. Gifts, toys, football was the last thing on their mind. And, here I was, in a frenzy trying to get home for Christmas, by the way. And I was, it was one of those times like, will somebody ask me about the college football game I just covered? Nobody cared.
No, they got to get it fixed. Great talking to you as always, buddy. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for your time.
A pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right, there he goes. Paul Feinbaum, the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN and the SEC Network. We'll get Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
This is the Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. It's Christmas Day. How do you work out giving guys a little holiday break as well as doing, and also in regard to that, guys doing their own work when they're away for the holiday?
Well, I think, this time of year, it's good to have a break. And, it's good, most importantly, to sit back and reflect why we're celebrating, the holidays. And it's something we talk about in this program. And I want guys to get a chance that time should be spent with their family. Obviously, we've got some guys who can't get to their families because we don't have a long break. So the Diebler House is open, for our extended family, for guys who can't be with family. But, I think at the end of the day, our guys want to be great. And so I got complete trust that they're going to get some work in, but some of them need some time, you know, and figure out the bound. We'll talk about that individually more. And then we got a good runway to get ready for our first game after the holidays, because we don't, you know, our first one's not till, I think,
January 2nd.
So,
okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Jake, as we talk about Christmas and the holidays and all that, you've never said it, but we've heard other coaches talk about they think their worst practice is the first one after Christmas or after a holiday break. But is there something about how guys just have to be mentally as well as physically prepared for that first practice to get ready for the next game?
I think so. I think it is. I think also, you know, it depends what you're trying to accomplish in that first practice. It depends on your team. You know, I don't think all first practices after Christmas have to be bad. I've been a part of some bad ones, and I've been a part of some good ones. So, you know, for me, it's about putting our guys, you know, in position to be successful that day and get out of that day what we need to and get better. And that's what we'll do. And we have a runway where we're not, you know, we don't have to come back and dial it up to a point where we got to get ready for a game the next day, right? So we have a runway, and we'll take advantage of that.
Okay, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Are you looking to...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Ross Bjork, Senior Vice President, and Eugene Smith, Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director at The Ohio State University. In partnership with AEP, Donato's, Kroger, The Ohio State University, Wexner Medical Center, Huntington, and 10TV, Ohio State Athletics strives to inspire the community to make a positive impact on children and families in our great state through the Buckeyes Care Initiative. Show and share your support in the community by using the hashtag #BuckeyesCare.
Tis the season to be hungry at Roosters. That's why for every $50 spent on Roosters gift cards, you'll receive a $10 Rooster Buck back in your stocking. May your holidays be filled with friends and family, love and laughter, and of course, Roosters Wings. Go to roosterswings.com today or drop by any Roosters location to purchase your $50 holiday gift cards and receive a $10 Rooster Buck in return. Happy holidays from all of us at Roosters. Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Guys, Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Ben. Let's take a listen back to when we were awesome. You're listening to the best of Bishop and Friends. The Fan. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Thursday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
All right, as of today, right now, Michigan's scheduled to play Texas Wednesday, December 31st at 3 o'clock in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl at Camping World Stadium in Orlando, Florida. The football program released pictures yesterday of Bryce Underwood at Wolverines practice as they prepare to play the Longhorns. This was obtained by M Live yesterday, the memorandum of understanding for one Kerry Combs. their new special teams coach, outlining what was a two-year, $1.2 million agreement that went into effect 2 days before the whole Sharon Moore debacle. James T. Yoder covers the Wolverines and says Kerry Combs might walk away with $1.2 million from Michigan for 2 to 3 weeks of work. Thing or not a thing.
Well, good thing for Kerry, I guess. If that's going to happen. Yeah, so I guess the only way that he wouldn't do that, since this went into effect before the Sharon Moore thing happened, the only way that he wouldn't is if whoever they hire retains him. Because he still has a contract at the University of Michigan. So I assume Kerry Combs would still be somebody that a lot of folks would like on their staff. Maybe not a special teams quarter, maybe as something else. Defensive backs coach did that at a high level here. Is that one of those things where the new guy, that's what would prevent this from happening? And I would say there's a decent chance of whoever they hire at Michigan. Like, Kerry has nothing to do with any of this. He was just hired 3 weeks ago. Like, he wasn't involved with any of this stuff. So, I think there's probably a decent, I think this is going to end up being not a thing, because I would be surprised if he's not retained in some way. I think this is a thing, and this is a good job out of him thing, right? I mean, there's no way that he was taking that job and being interviewed for that job and didn't know that some of this was out there, that some of the rumors were out there, and that this could be a possibility. And I feel like he's grinning all the way to the bank here, and I'm guessing a new coach coming in, he's going to want to bring his own guys. So they'll probably say bye-bye to Kerry Combs. And he'll be pocketing $1.2 million for doing nothing. That's good work if you can find it. Either way, he's going to win. I think his reputation in the sport's pretty good, though. And when you're trying to put together a staff in this climate, like if you have somebody good who's there who doesn't have anything to do with it, I think there's a decent chance he's retained. But either way, he wins.
I know you guys probably talked a lot about the NBA Cup Championship
and
the New York
Whole
Knicks
first hour.
Beating the Spurs yesterday. Good thing out of New York, they're not going to hang a banner for it, but it is a championship that they've won. ESPN's Sham Sharania says the association is looking to play the 2026 NBA Cup Final at a college arena. He mentions Duke's Cameron Indoor for a potential site next year for that in-season tournament finale. It's been played the last two at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Thing or not a thing?
It doesn't do anything for me. So they modeled this off the FA Cup, is what they did, which is in English soccer. It's the it's a true open cup. So In English soccer, I think there's either four or five, maybe more, divisions, with the Premier League being at the top of it. And then it's like League One, and down you go. And if you're a fan of Wrexham, welcome to Wrexham. Like, you've seen them as they've tried to navigate to get all the way up, and they were at one of the lowest levels and just slowly worked their way up. But what the FA Cup does is it allows for every... So, like, for example, Manchester City can play Wrexham for the right to move on. So you can truly have David versus Goliath in the biggest possible sense. This is just a made-up tournament in the middle of a season that isn't resonating at all. So I don't... Who cares? Like, I'm with Chuck Barkley on this. I just think this... I want to make one distinction. I don't have a problem with Silver trying to do this. He's trying to incentivize high level of play during the season. That's what he's trying to do. And he's trying to find money. Those are the two things he's trying to do. But it hasn't hit for me. And anytime that there's one of these type of things, I'm always curious, like if my boys are paying attention and they love hoops. And they didn't pay attention to it at all. Not at all. So I don't know who it's landing with. It sure as heck isn't landing with me. And it doesn't feel like it's landing with many people. And I don't think playing in Cameron Indoor is going to change that. I would love to, one, see the ratings on this, to know if people are watching. Are they going to let them change the court at Cameron Indoor to be what they've changed the courts to these other places to? I think this whole thing seems gimmicky, and it seemed gimmicky from the start. And then you do that with the courts, it makes it even more gimmicky. I don't know. I'm not one who, like, these changed court in this forced tournament is for. That's for sure.
I think if you want the games to matter in the season, make these guys play. Make them fill out, make them live up their contract. They're signing a contract to play 82 games. Make them, unless they are totally not healthy, play 82 games. And I don't know if there's some way you can incentivize the regular season more in the postseason. I don't think there's any way to do that because you get, obviously, home court advantage in your series and whatnot. But I don't know how you make them, just make them play.
You can't because they've expanded the playoff to 10 teams now because you got the play-in games. You got seven-game series in the first round that last a month, and everyone's saving up for that. Like, what? Unless you're Oklahoma City and you're going to try to chase down history, what difference does it make? Just get in.
Speaking of Adam Silver, NBA's commissioner said the league would decide in 2026 whether to add two teams. If it happens, Las Vegas and Seattle are most likely the expansion cities. Silver says the main issue under review is by the league's existing 30 teams, whether there's an appetite to divide the NBA's roughly $11 billion in revenue by two more teams. Thing or not a thing?
No, there's not an appetite for the NBA ownership groups to add two more teams to split the $11 billion pot. I think what you will see, and I think there's some pretty logical spots, I think that what will happen is, because this is a cruel game that they really don't give a damn about the fans at all, is you will see Seattle and Las Vegas leveraged by current NBA teams who are trying to build new arenas or who are not functional and not as financially functional as they ought to be. So I'm looking at you, New Orleans. I'm looking at you, Memphis. Those are probably two cities that shouldn't have NBA franchises to begin with. I mean, New Orleans has the Saints, and that's about all you can handle. They've lost so much population, no corporate money. Memphis at least has FedEx, so that helps, and I think there's a good fan base there, but those two cities are not Las Vegas, and they're definitely not Seattle. So I think what will happen is those two franchises will be leveraged by those two cities, and I don't think you will see NBA expansion. I thought for the longest time you would, but now I don't think so.
I don't think we should see NBA expansion because I think we've realized that expansion is not always better. It doesn't mean that you get more and better quality. However, I do think this is something that the NBA will probably use to try to leverage more money out of TV contracts and whatnot. So they probably will expand. And listen, Vegas, everybody's going to Vegas now. So You might as well. It's one of the hottest tickets in town. And Seattle probably should have never lost the Supersonics. So
no,
they should.
Ridiculous.
They should be back there. They should have been back there a while ago.
They, what'll be interesting is the NHL did the expansion because of the expansion fees. And that money was greater than the television that they were getting back. So that's why they did it. If the NBA ever got to a point where, like, for example, if the Seattle expansion fee was like $4 billion, then maybe you'll see something. But it'll always be about the money. Always. We'll attempt to beat the house coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable.
The Fan.
Men, we hear.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Always and forever, your Ohio State flagship station.
WBNSFM HD1 Columbus.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Let's take a listen back to when we were awesome.
You're listening to the best of Bishop and Friends. The Fan. The Fan.
Ohio sports destination.
We'll read your emails on the air, but we won't tell you where to send them.
Hey, we're not doing all the work for you.
This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and we are proudly brought to you and sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. And quite honestly, for taking the time to join us today, our next guest can have whatever she wants at Diamond Cellar on me. Angelique Chinkalis, Detroit News, joins us. Thank you so much, dear friend, for taking the time on what has to be an absolutely surreal, crazy last 24 hours for you. Let's just start here. As you understand it, and your reporting is incredible at the Detroit News, what is the timeline on how all of this came to a head and inevitably ended? And let's, from the football perspective, with his firing yesterday afternoon.
Well, from my conversations last night, it sounded like they had done an internal investigation at Michigan, didn't turn up any evidence. And it, you know, I think it was one of those things where you go around and say, is this happening? No. Is this happening? No. You know, deny, deny, deny. So they didn't have any evidence. And there was enough smoke there that the Board of Regents thought that they should bring in an outside investigative firm. And that's what they did. And it takes some time to do that. Like they mentioned that, you know, Michigan a few years ago fired the president, Mark Schlissel, because of something similar, inappropriate relationship with someone on staff. But, you know, as this person said, it takes time to get an investigation going. And when you bring in one of those firms, so that really kicked into gear earlier this week. And yesterday there was an important piece of information. I'm not sure the specifics of it that was delivered, and that turned everything, and Ward Manuel fired Sherrone Moore. And then it went off the rails, and you know, Sherrone Moore's now in jail and they're waiting on his arraignment right now. And it could be in person. I highly doubt that. I assume they'll probably go with, you know, something on Zoom so he doesn't have to face all the people, all the reporters who are waiting for him. But it's just, you know, but it doesn't stop there. It's now, you know, it's like, you know, everybody's up in arms about Ward Manuel. You know, what's his role in this? Should this have happened sooner? What did he know? And, you know, this is not going to end anytime soon, as you know. And we were just laughing off air that it's like every December at Michigan, there is something going on controversial. Mm-hmm. So this just feels normal now. This is Christmas now for me.
I know it is. And of course, and still no president there either. So,
right.
So then it becomes, all right, well, who is the person of power who is leading all of this? From your understanding, is there certain members of the Board of Regents? Like what triggered this? Hey, there's smoke here. We got to see if there's more, because usually the skeptic in me says, if the 2 years were going great, and you do an internal and there's nothing there, then you just let it lie. But if there's smoke, then you decide to take that next step of, okay, external, and now we get this information. Who is pulling the strings to make those moves?
Well, I don't know specifically, but, you know, this is a very powerful Board of Regents. And I think people saw that in terms of this Big Ten private equity deal. I mean, look how they became extremely vocal and made change, had this pause now, and got USC on board, et cetera. So this is a very powerful group, and they really do take what they do very seriously. And, you know, this is not the first time they've had to deal with something like this, as I mentioned, the Schlissel case a few years ago. So, there were rumors. I had heard rumors back in 2022. But, you know, it's just stuff people are talking about. You never know. That's the nature of rumors. But clearly there was evidence building and probably more people coming forward and saying, yeah, this is going on. And have you looked at this? And that's why you can't stop in something like this. And I know people want to say, well, it's convenient. They waited till after signing day. Well, I don't think that's the case. And I think that was the point made to me last night is that, yes, you hire an investigative firm, but it takes some time to put that firm, that search or whatever you want to call it, investigation in place. And that's why the timing of it was, is what it is right now. I mean, it doesn't mean that these guys who've committed to Michigan are going to stay now.
No.
I mean, I've talked to a couple parents and they're very much in wait and see mode. I mean, they want to see if Michigan can make a home run hire and if the athletic director is there to make the hire. I mean, there's so many moving parts here. It's hard to keep up. But if
you're not going to have any days off.
Hire, if they can make a home run hire here, and it's very possible they can. This is a desirable job, and you know. But I do foresee this next coach. It's just going to blow up the place, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that there's. It feels like there's a lot of Game of Thrones kind of vibe in that place right now in the building, and it probably would be the best thing right now to start from scratch.
Oh, yeah, Cersei Lannister did that to the Sept, so you know how that worked in Game of Thrones. So, okay, let's just do a little, and I've talked about this all morning, obviously, and have been consistent and sensitive to that. This is a human being. This is there's a wife. There are three little girls. There's all of this. You know him. I don't know how well, but certainly very familiar. Was the behavior post firing? How did that sit with you?
Oh, I mean, look, I always found. first thing I will say is I've been on record since December 2023 saying I didn't think he should be the next head coach. Mm-hmm. And I thought the first call should be Kalen DeBoer. And I think even after the USC loss, I was on a couple of radio shows in Ann Arbor saying, I said, and I will continue to say, I didn't think he should be the head coach. I didn't think he was ready for it. And by ready for it, I also meant emotionally. I mean, what people saw after the Penn State game when he was in tears, that's who he is. I mean, he gets triggered very quickly. And yes, I think some people found it endearing. Other people thought it was humiliating. I tend to think it was kind of ridiculous. But that's who he is. He reacts to things like that, and he's over the top emotional. So I think I'm not surprised by what happened yesterday, in the sense that he's just realized his world is probably ending in terms of his career, mm-hmm. and his family. And, you know, I don't know. I can't put myself in those shoes. How would I react? But knowing his reactions to other situations, I was not shocked by how emotional the response was, or seems to have been.
Talking to the great Angelique Chingalis of the Detroit News, her reporting on this is first rate, as it always is, and there's going to be a lot more of it. So go there, subscribe, and read it, and you'll get smarter for it. In terms of what's next, you said house cleaning. I will tell you, from the perception down here with the hiring of Moore, was to me it felt like, and I've said this for years, he almost kind of felt like the patsy. Almost felt mm-hmm. like if there was something more coming, he could take the fall for it. Well, now he didn't take the fall for Stallions, but of course he was still going to be suspended for a game next year for other things. He does take the fall inevitably. Does this allow for a clean break from all of it? And do you think that that is what will finally happen?
Yes, I do. I think you move on from this, you know, the Harbaugh to Sherrone Moore transition. You never forget it. It can't be erased. But you've got to move on. And I always believed Kalen DeBoer was the right guy in 2023 because, A, he's a good coach, but he has experience in the area. He coached at Eastern Michigan. He's been in the Big Ten at IU. I believe, and I've been meaning to look this up, but I believe his wife is from Ypsilanti. So he has connections to this area. And I just think, you know, he's the kind of guy who, you know, my other big issue with hiring Sherrone Moore is that he had no experience and as a head coach. And he's 36, 37 years old. He had a very short window in college football. He didn't have a huge network of coaches. You know, most of these guys come in and they have their guys. Well, he didn't have his guys when he had to hire a whole defensive staff. So there were in my mind, a lot of strikes. And I think that the other issue that I found with Sherrone is that, you know, I think he confused being a player's coach with being a player's friend. And, you know, I think you have to have a healthy respect, maybe a little healthy fear like you do with your parents. I know I do, with your head coach. And I don't think that existed. And I think that lends to an air of a lack of discipline. And I think that, you know, you could see that occasionally with this team. And I think that you've got to clear out the building. And, you know, I think that's uncomfortable to say because there are coaches in there who don't know what their future holds. He just hired Kerry Coombs. I mean, you know, what's next for these guys? But, and I'm not saying, you know, that all of them should go. I'm just saying that the guys who've been there the longest, it's probably time that Michigan cleans house and moves on and just starts fresh.
And again, this is all just so fresh, but you've mentioned DeBoer a couple of times. He's the betting favorite to get it. He was rumored at Penn State too. I was talking about that yesterday on the show with the Penn State beat writer about that. They really thought that if he lost the Iron Bowl, that he would have maybe gone to Penn State. And certainly who knows what's going on down there. I got Feinbaum coming on in 4 minutes, so I guess maybe he can tell me. But in terms of Kalen, that's the home run hire. How realistic does that feel? And I understand that this is also fresh, so I won't hold you to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think from people I've talked to that there is interest, you know, that they believe that there's interest. I don't know if there's actually been conversations with him or his people, but, you know, I think that from what I've heard, when he was at Washington, he would tell people that Michigan and Alabama are two programs he could see himself coaching. And I think that's what people are relying on. And I think it's, you know, who knows how, and you'll find out from Feinbaum, how is he accepted at Alabama? You know, start of the season, it sure didn't sound like it. That woman was going to give up her lottery money to get rid of him to pay his buyout. Then they started winning, and now they're in the playoff. But you know, it's I don't think it's a perfect relationship there with DeBoer in Alabama, and maybe that works to Michigan's favor, and maybe it isn't. But you know, people are throwing out Jed Fish, you know, guy in Washington. He's been at Michigan. There are a few other names floating, but I think number one target right now is Kalen DeBoer, and that's the one I'm watching to see if that will come to fruition at this moment.
All right, I'll get you out of here on this one. Two-parter. Number one, do you think that they knew who they wanted to hire when they made the fire yesterday? And number two, do you think they still play in that bowl game?
I think if you're a good athletic director, you have a list. And I've talked to Ward about this before, and he's like, yes, I always have a list. So I've got to believe that Kalen DeBoer has been on his list. I don't know if he's number one or number two, but I believe he's been there. And I missed your second question about the bowl game.
Do you think they actually play in the bowl game?
Yeah, I wondered about that. I wrote that on my little list yesterday. Will they play? And I got to believe they will. They've got Biff Poggi in there as the acting head coach. But who knows with attrition? There was always going to be natural attrition, guys who weren't going to play. But, yeah, I mean, look, I'm not really interested in going to Orlando. So they asked me for a vote. I know where I stand. So.
I can't thank you enough on a crazy day for you for giving us some time and your expertise and sharing it with us. Thank you so much, and happy thanks. Holidays, and hopefully you can relax a little bit.
Right. Okay, thanks, Bo. I appreciate it. Happy holidays to you, too.
All right, there she goes. Angelique Chingalis with the Detroit News. Again, continue to read her reporting on it. It's as good as you're going to find, and a really good accounting of what exactly happened at Michigan. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Bye, the meatloaf!
The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst and cancer champion Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. Join our team to help fund game-changing research that saves lives. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over the odds. V is for victory over health disparities. Victory over setbacks. Victory over the unknown. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Donate to the V Foundation to join our team and help save lives.
Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul.
100% of donations fund game-changing cancer research. Donate now to the V Foundation at V.org.
Guys, Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Hey, Max, you look absolutely dashing in that purple tie. Ready to harness the world?
You bet, Daisy. I'm ready as I'll ever be. And might I say, your purple tie really pops with your vest.
Thanks. I almost went with a cape, but didn't want to come across as pretentious.
Nonsense. Anyone in our line of work should rock a cape.
You might be onto something, Max.
Phew. So, here we go. First day on the job. You've got this, right?
Right. Don't forget, we both graduated from Dogs, Inc. with honors.
Which means I can guide my human around a busy city with ease.
And I can give my human a restful night.
I hope my human is kind and loving.
And I hope mine likes wet kisses and zoomies.
Ready to make a difference?
Born ready. Let's go.
Discover how extraordinary dogs like Daisy and Max change lives at no cost to the recipients. Visit dogsinc.org.
Let's take a listen back to when we were awesome. You're listening to the best of Bishop and Friends. The Fan. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
They are, look, Mike's from Chicago, AR's from Chicago, Fish is from Chicago. So we're well represented here. I was a Bears fan as a kid. I'm not nearly as qualified as any of those people are to discuss where the Bears standing is in the city. My perception of it has always been that Chicago is a Bears town. And there was probably a time when it was a Michael Jordan town, and there probably a time when it was a Cubs and so forth. But my perception of it was tried and true. Chicago was a Bears town, that was job one, was the Chicago Bears. So when the Chicago Bears, the team of my youth, hired Kevin Warren to be their president and CEO, I went, oh no. Oh no. Because we saw it. We saw it here. We saw it here in the Big Ten, and we saw the way that he operated that. So they have been trying over the last several years. I guess another part of the backstory of this is I've always felt, and certainly as I grew older and some of my fandom went away, I've always felt that the Chicago Bears were one of the most mismanaged operations in the National Football League. They had the third largest city in this country to themselves. To themselves. There's almost no reason why the Chicago Bears aren't the Dallas Cowboys, or why they're not the New York Giants or the Washington now Commanders and Eagles, like one of the New England Patriots. Like, there's no reason. But part of the reason that they haven't achieved those goals is because it's been in the Halas family forever. And they aren't, their wealth is in the Bears. Their wealth isn't from somewhere else. And they're not the, they don't have the business acumen that Jerry Jones had with the Cowboys to take an entity and a brand and maximize the value of it. They've never had an interest in doing that, ever. And so you think about the Bears and Soldier Field and the Monsters of Midway and all of that stuff. Well, over the last couple of years, there's been all sorts of plans that they've tried to get off the ground on how to do a new stadium for the Bears. Now, it strikes you a little bit odd in the sense that it feels like they just did this, but it's been 20 plus years. When did they put the spaceship on that thing? Is it like early 2000s, late 90s? Something like that on the old Soldier Field. So the two plans that we've seen two. Number one is stay at the Soldier Field site and renovate it and modernize it and all of those things. But the I'm sure the McCaskey family doesn't really want that, because you still have all the issues that are there with having the stadium at that site, the parking, all of the things that come with it. And you can't maximize revenue in the city because you're on city property. So all of these operations, and you saw it up in Cleveland with the Browns, you saw it. The best example is certainly what Bob Kraft has done in New England, where he basically built Patriots World up there, and it's well away from the city and kind of decently located between Providence and Boston. In fact, when NFL teams go to New England to play, they stay in Providence. They don't stay in Boston. And so that's what a lot of them are looking at. Jerry did it in Dallas. He built his stadium, and then he built Cowboys World, and he owns it. And so that's what a lot of them are trying to do. So the Bears are trying to do it. So they had the downtown stadium opportunity, and then the other opportunity was in the northern suburbs in Arlington Heights. And they were going to build it up there at the old racetrack that was up there. So they were going to go build that up there. Well, the state of Illinois said, not quite there for you yet. And they're not able to commit to the infrastructure, the improvements that the Bears want to move it into a place like Arlington Heights. And it feels like that from the state perspective, that the Bears are in a spot where the state doesn't want to play ball with them and the city doesn't want to play ball with them. Now, the reason you need those things to play ball is because you aren't liquid. Not in the sense that some of these owners are liquid. Not like Stan Kroenke, where you can scratch a check for a $4 billion stadium out of your back pocket. They don't have that. So they're going to need a little bit of help to get these things done. So yesterday, this brings us back to Kevin Warren, released a statement saying the team's decision to focus on Arlington Heights for its new stadium location has changed. Here's the quote. We need to expand our search and critically evaluate opportunities throughout the wider Chicagoland region, including Northwest Indiana. This is not about leverage. How do you even type that without it with a straight face? We spent years trying to build a new home in Cook County. We invested significant time and resources evaluating multiple sites. and rationally decided on Arlington Heights. Our fans deserve a world-class stadium. Our players and coaches deserve a venue that matches the championship standard they strive for every day. With that in mind, our organization must keep every credible pathway open to deliver that future. The Bears in Arlington Heights. The Bears in Gary, Indiana. I've driven through Chicago a bunch the last couple of summers through for all the lacrosse stuff that we've had to play all over the Midwest. And so know the drive very well, know the region pretty well. Certainly not like the guys who are from there, who worked here. I really can't see any scenario, and I could be wrong on this. Fish could correct me immediately. Mike could correct me. AR could correct me. I don't see any scenario where a bunch of Bears fans are going to flock to Gary, Indiana to watch the Bears.
No.
I just don't.
Soldier Field opened in 1924, and your point about adding that thing on top of it, whatever you want to call it, was in 2003, was when the last renovation came. The project was funded with $660 million in bonds that are being paid off with taxes paid by city hotels. And I guess there's still a significant portion of that that needs paid off.
Yeah.
And the Bears have a lease with Soldier Field. They're paying like $6 million a year to play games at Soldier Field. That goes through 2033. If they want to break that, I think the earliest they can do so is 2026. They got to pay like $85 million to break that lease. I mean, just this has been a complete and utter disaster with the Bears' handling of their stadium and what their plans are for the future. All of them get worse. Like, each one gets worse. And I don't think Illinois's got any care to come and bail them out of this, because
Doesn't seem so.
They're going to get $85 million if the Bears want to get out of this before 2033.
So it says that it's 36 minutes to drive from downtown Chicago to Gary, Indiana. But I'm guessing traffic, it's not 36 minutes. Dude, I'm guessing it's more like an hour.
I'm going to tell you what. You might be able to get from downtown Chicago. And by the way, anybody from this station who grew up in Chicago can correct me if I'm wrong, but my hunch is that the majority of their fan base is coming north of the city, which is why they wanted to go to Arlington Heights, is because that's where the fandom was, is they wanted to go up there because people didn't want to come into the city. Now, you can argue, should they be in downtown or not? That's a conversation for a native Chicagoan. That's not me. I don't know that. And so I can't speak to that the way that the folks who work here could. But my hunch is that this would be the opposite of the area that you want to go. I don't know a scenario where you could get from Gary, Indiana to downtown Chicago in 36 minutes unless it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I really don't. Maybe 3 in the morning.
I remember Mike talking about when they first mentioned Arlington Heights, and I believe he said it was like a 45-minute drive from downtown Chicago to Arlington Heights. And as you mentioned, Bo, seems like a lot of the population in the suburbs are to the north and northwest, kind of where Arlington Heights is. So maybe that would be a shorter drive for some fans. I just don't, and it looks like Gary is a little further away from downtown Chicago than Arlington Heights is.
But it's south.
And it's southeast. And I know that Gary, Indiana is not usually the best area. Oh, no. A lot of people don't have high things to say about Gary, Indiana. I just can't see this happening. Not only would you be taking them out of Chicago, you're taking them out of the state. I just don't see how that happens.
I have absolutely nothing I want to do in Indiana.
Same, brother. Same. Yeah. I don't sense it at all. I think it would be an absolutely critical error. And I just think all of these professional sports teams better be careful. And I'll tell you why in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
This is
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The Fan. It was so good the first time,
we had to shove it down your ear hole again.
This is the best of Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
Ohio sports destination.
Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And get ready to play, win, and celebrate big at El Dorado Cider Downs, your ultimate Caesars Rewards destination. And with Caesars Rewards, you earn rewards every time you play, stay, dine, or shop. Not just here, but over 50 Caesars Rewards destinations across the country. From unforgettable getaways to incredible culinary experiences, members enjoy exclusive perks and benefits that make every visit worth it. And at Cider Downs, the excitement is nonstop. Take your pick. More than 1,700 of the hottest new games. Sip on award-winning craft brews at the Brew Brothers Microbrewery, or dive into Guy Fieri's Trattoria, home of the Out of Bounds 68-layer lasagna. And the energy just keeps building. Wait until 2026. Cider Downs has been chosen to host the prestigious Breeders' Crown in 2026, featuring 12 championship races. It's one of the biggest events in harness racing. It's coming right here to town. So come, experience the action, the rewards, the unforgettable moments that are waiting for you at El Dorado Cider Downs, a Caesars Rewards destination where the rewards never stop. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem, call 1-800-589-9966. Visit Caesars.com/Cider Downs for details. These pro sports teams have to be careful. We are a sports consuming society to where the stay-at-home product is damn near perfect. Your bathroom, no parking, your snacks, your food, massive television. In many instances, multiple screens where you can watch multiple games at the same time. Is there still incredible value to going to a venue and seeing a game? You better believe it. But do you have to go to every one? And if you are an NFL, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, hell, Buckeye season ticket holder, do you want to commit to going to every game? And in the old days, you could buy the season tickets and sell them and make a little bit of profit. And that would kind of pay for your tickets. But the demand to go to games now isn't what it used to be. Not week in and week out. There are still some games that stand on their own. There are still some games that the ticket is massive to be able to go in because, boy, there is nothing better than a big game on campus on a Saturday or a big Sunday afternoon game that means everything. A division title, all of those things. And you want to be there. There's a community, there's a camaraderie that comes with that. But if you are going to expect that, you better do two things. Number one, you better win. You better put a great product on the field. The number two thing you better do is everything in regard to attending the game had better be easy. It can't be a pain in the neck to park. You can't gouge me for my seat. You can't gouge me for a beer or a hot dog or a slice of pizza or nachos or whatever. I've got to be able to enjoy my time there. And so when you're having this Bears conversation about moving to Gary, Indiana, and again, not from the area, but my hunch is that would be a massive turnoff for that fan base. And the idea of folks from the north, I mean, so if you're saying 36 minutes from downtown, you're talking, I mean, in some instances, that could be 2 hours to get from a northern suburb to Gary. There's no easy way there. There is a lake. Unless you're going to build a bridge over it. I just don't see any scenario how this would be easy at all. And I hesitate to even make this big of a deal about it because this first line, this line in the second sentence where he says this is not about leverage. Well, of course it is. Of course it's about leverage. This can't be realistic.
I mean, it's all this is. He published the open letter yesterday. All it was just a letter for leverage. But it reeks of the desperation that it is because I don't see a path forward for the Chicago Bears outside of Soldier Field. And they're not getting the roof put on it because I think there's something in place that doesn't allow Soldier Field to have a roof on it, some with Lakeshore Drive. And they don't feel like the franchise that has the cash to do the kind of renovations that would put them up there with some of the top stadiums, even in their own division.
Bo, you put that into perspective, like a lot of the fans coming from the northwest part of Chicago. Mm-hmm. To get down there to that and it being like 2 hours. I know there are some people in Columbus that have Brown season tickets, and I know there are some people in Columbus that have Bengals season tickets.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a majority of your fan base.
No, no.
And you can't rely on a majority of your fan base to be driving an hour and a half, 2 hours every week to watch your games.
It was a Friday. It was a Friday. This was two summers ago. We were playing in that Arlington Heights, Buffalo Grove area. So in this area where they want to put the stadium, our game was on Saturday. I knew our game started Saturday morning. I knew that the traffic was brutal around Chicago because I'd just been there like 2 weeks previously. We had a tournament like way up on the border in northern Illinois and the Wisconsin. It was in Rockford, as I asked AR and Fish for recommendations. So it was in Rockford. So that's where it was. So I knew that the traffic was brutal. So I set out Friday early to make sure that we were through the city to get north before any semblance of rush hour, before any semblance. So we left in the single digits, like either 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. It was early, really early. And from the time it was smooth sailing until Gary, and then the last 30 miles took us 2.5 hours to get from there to the northern, to the whatever that area was. It was in that Arlington Heights area. I can't remember exactly where the stadium was, but it was somewhere up there in those northern suburbs, Arlington Heights, Buffalo Grove, one of them up there. And it took us over 2.5 hours to get there. And you just couldn't go anywhere. It was gridlock, and it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday. On a Friday, 2 o'clock. This wasn't rush hour. It wasn't anything like it. It was just normal. And there was construction and stuff. I suppose, I mean, obviously all of these things contributed, but you've got to be careful. And I do think that there is a threshold that the fan will put up with, but I do think that we are at a place now where the fan is holding you accountable in ways that they never previously could because of how good it is to just stay at home.
And I think one thing, too, with prices.
Sure.
With the way the prices are going, why are you going to do something that's going, you have to pay really good money for, but is going to be something that is not convenient for you or is not an enjoyable experience to get there? So if you're going to continue to raise prices like this, you definitely got to make it easier to get to your stadium. I think, Bo, the Bears only have one answer here. There's only one thing they can do. And he may not be able to beat the Green Bay Packers or the Detroit Lions, the Minnesota Vikings, but you got to bring Justin Fields back because he can beat Kevin Warren.
He did. Yeah, he did. He did beat Kevin Warren. You know, the other thing about this that's interesting, and this speaks to like a professional sports, to a lesser degree, college sports thing. For the longest time in our country, there was an incredible sense of pride of being a season ticket holder. Oh, I got season tickets. Mm-hmm. Season tickets to the Jacket. Season tickets to Buckeye football. Season tickets to Buckeye basketball. When I first got here, as an incredible courtesy that Ohio State did, if you were in the media, you could buy season tickets for Buckeye football. My guess is you still can. But I was offered the ability to. Do you know what? When I first got here in 07, there were no, because I was going to buy basketball season tickets. I bought the football ones. So I was going to buy the basketball ones. There were no basketball season tickets available.
I believe that
to buy in 2007, there weren't any available to be bought. There are now. And I don't know if the season ticket point of pride, badge of honor, it exists anymore. Like if I was a consumer and I was somebody as a diehard fill in the blank fan and just use Buckeye football, would I want to buy 8 games for X amount of dollars, or do I just pay an exorbitant amount for the Texas game or the Michigan game or the Penn State game or USC or Oregon? Like, do I want to go to all the rest of those and deal with the hassle of selling it on the secondary market, making it all work? I don't think I do. I think my play would be buy a couple of games. I don't need season tickets.
And that's the conversation that I've heard more and more over the last at least decade, is that folks who can purchase season tickets directly from Ohio State, you buy a season and you go to one game and the rest of them you just sell in order to make up or to make money to pay for going to that one final game.
Yeah, it seems like where that's a thing is if you own a business, mm-hmm. and you get tickets for the business and then you can entertain clients and that's all a write-off and all of that. But that goes back to the point of the prices. Like a lot of the normal people can't afford to do that or afford to buy season tickets anymore. And it is just those businesses or corporations that can do it.
The Blue Jackets do a good job of this. the Cavaliers do a pretty good job of this, making sure now they're way up. I, by the way, in hockey, I love being way up. Basketball, I don't. But in hockey, I love being way up. Being able to get in, get in the door. And I think that's something that's going to be really critical for professional sports over the next decade, because the old model of build an exorbitant facility, everyone's going to pay your PSL, everyone's going to buy your season tickets, I don't know how realistic that is anymore. And I think the Bears are playing with fire here, man. I really think they are. This is an iconic franchise, one that is historically underachieved. You are, and again, I think this is leverage. I don't want to put too much attention to it. My hunch is they'll either up in Chicago or else they'll be back in the northern suburbs. But it's a heck of a game of chicken you're playing.
Do the owners step in with the Bears and force a sale because of the mismanagement by the McCaskies isn't making anybody the money that it could in that market?
Can you force George Halas's
great
offspring once removed? Can you force them to sell the Bears?
The initials are on the sleeve.
Right. I mean, geez, they're probably very similar to what I was saying yesterday about the Bengals, though. They're the perfect team that should take on some private equity and get an influx of cash so they can do it on their own. And then they can buy the land in Arlington Heights, and then they can do whatever they can pay for the whole stadium. They can do all that stuff. Like, you need to be a little bit more liquid than they currently are. So something worth monitoring, because there's big picture implications to it in addition to just the immediate implications that go well beyond Chicagoland. We'll get you three things on a Thursday up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
A gun suicide attempt? All it takes is a moment.
Heather and I had an argument just like any other couple. I was lost. I had snapped. I had a gun and I was going to take my own life. Heather helped me realize that there was still a life to live for the better of myself, my family. My weapon is now safely put away.
A moment of crisis can happen to anyone. Store your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
As a teacher or coach, do you ever feel overwhelmed supporting kids' mental health?
Teachers need tons of help.
I had never experienced players being so down that they can't even participate.
It's so important that we are constantly educating ourselves.
It's the same as the CPR class to me. We're trying to save a life here.
The Kids Mental Health Foundation has free tools and information developed by experts. Scan the QR code or check out kidsmentalhealthfoundation.org to get started.
Guys, thanks for...
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Our home appraisal after we put away our African art and family photos.
Has this happened to you because of race or national origin? Contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. A message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Jackets are back in Nationwide for a battle with the Islanders. Live fan coverage starts Sunday at 4:30.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating and Cooling.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
The Fan. It was so good the first time,
we had to shove it down your ear hole again.
This is the best of Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
Ohio sports destination.
They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Just a normal Thursday in college football, kids. That's where we're at. Is there any coach that Michigan could hire that would give you pause for concern? Or is there any scenario where this thing doesn't end in what? Catastrophic in terms of their roster, in terms of their football program, and all of it. DeBoer, I like the way he goes about his business. You don't know what a guy's why is, and I think he'd be formidable. They just signed a great recruiting class at Michigan. So I think all of those things kind of track in terms, or I'm sorry, at Alabama. I think all of those things are pretty interesting. There really is a couple parallel paths they're working here. Number one, how do they keep the roster they currently have intact? Number two, how do they keep that recruiting class from leaving, which is a very nice recruiting class? And then number three, how do they hire somebody who can fit all of the ideals that they're looking for and dig out of a absolute cesspool of a mess? I mean, who's signing up for that? I mean, I even wondered, like, is this something where they call on Charles Woodson or somebody like that? Like somebody who is a dye-in-the-wool Michigan man to come in and try to stabilize. But I don't know, on an interim basis. And I'm not talking about just playing Texas in a bowl game. I'm talking about to just get them through the next 6 months.
I wonder if you go to, first off, you're going to whoever's cutting checks. And I wonder to Larry Ellison or to his partner, whoever gave him the motivation to give Bryce Underwood the $10.5 million NIL deal, do you kind of involve all of them in this process? Because they're the ones that are going to be financing a lot of this. Now, you won't have to pay Sharon Moore a buyout, but head coaches are expensive. And if you want a top man for Michigan, it's going to cost you money. I saw Brian Kelly's name bandied about, and I said that could be the worst possible move that they could make off of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think about your point about Woodson, but I think a true blue, no pun intended, Michigan man there might help steady the ship and galvanize the donor base into saying, okay, that was really bad, but we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. So we're going to move forward with a Michigan man. It's all been silly. Now it makes a little bit more sense, more than I think so ever.
I think Kalen DeBoer would be one that would give some pause to me because I still think he's a really good coach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may take him a little while to dig out of this, but he's a guy, regardless of whether he's meeting Alabama standards or not, and we've talked about this a lot, he's never won less than 9 games in a full season he's coached anywhere he's coached.
Yeah.
Never less than 9 games. So I think Kalen DeBoer is a really good coach, and I think Alabama would be crazy to let him go. I wonder if there was too much damage done to the relationship between them and Mike Hart, if maybe Mike Hart would want to return and be the guy. I know he wanted the job when Harbaugh left and was on staff there, so I wonder if he's someone. You mentioned Brian Kelly, Reese. Somebody said he's a name that's been floating around those offices for the last week or so. And if they did that, I think I would just laugh at that. I also heard someone that I know that has some ties to the Michigan program said Kenny Dillingham might be their first choice. And Kenny Dillingham is an interesting name. I don't know if he screams Michigan to me. But he's someone that might give you a little pause, too, I think, with what he's done at Arizona State and his brashness. And he could make the rivalry fun.
He's an Arizona native. He played at Chaparral High School in the Phoenix area. He's an Arizona State alumnus. So he's as true and blue as you can in terms of the Sun Devils. I don't see anything in his past that. He was at Auburn. He was the offensive coordinator at Auburn for a little stretch, Florida State. So he's at least been east of the Mississippi a little bit. The one thing that I think is most interesting about this, just from a big picture college football side of it, is clearly one of two things are happening with DeBoer. Either he wants the hell out of there, which is very likely, or he wants them to appreciate him more. One or the two. And I can't imagine, from his perspective, folks, think about this. Can you imagine doing that job? Tuscaloosa is a small town. Doing that job in the shadow of Saban, where he goes to your games, he talks about your games on College Game Day, him and Miss Terry go to basketball games at the University of Alabama, like it's their social life. When Bobby Bowden left Florida State and retired, he moved his family to Birmingham. Him and Ann moved to Birmingham and moved out of Tallahassee just to give Jimbo Fisher some room to breathe. Saban has not done that. In fact, DeBoer has to deal with Saban at every turn. And I'm sure Saban's trying to be helpful because I think he wants Alabama to be good. But it's something you got to deal with. And the pressure of that, I can't even imagine. I mean, he's had two great seasons there with rosters that were one picked over largely by us. And then a second year this year where they just don't have the overall depth. They played a brutal schedule. He still gets into the playoff. They're not happy because he gets blanked by Georgia in the SEC title game. And if they don't win a national title, they think that, which is what they think they're entitled to. And he's going, man, I'm winning at a pretty good clip here. I'm signing folks. And by the way, Alabama doesn't have A&M money. Now, quite frankly, they don't have Michigan money. So he's doing all of that. So it's one of two things. Either he wants out, and I could understand it, or he wants them to appreciate him more. But the fact that his name is out there as prominently as it was at Penn State, and now with this job, there's enough smoke there that it's one of the two.
I'm guessing he doesn't love the way he's been treated by some of the fans down there. You know, people saying, we'll pay the $77 million if I win the lottery to run him out of here and all of that. One name I heard last night, too, was Jed Fish.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that Jed Fish's family hates Seattle, and they have not even moved there to be with him, and that Jed Fish would run to Michigan if they gave him the call and he would leave Washington.
Yeah.
I also wonder, there's a guy that's coached a lot of college football before that's out there right now, and I feel like his system, his offensive system that he's ran in the past would fit Bryce Underwood really well. I wonder if they might look at Chip Kelly, and would he do that?
He would not.
To Ryan. I don't think so.
No, I don't think he would.
I think he would love coaching Underwood.
Yeah, and I don't think he wants to deal with all that comes with being a head coach in college football. I think that's why he left UCLA. But I thought you were going to go a different way there. And this is the one that I thought of immediately when this came yesterday, was Lincoln Riley. That's the one I thought of right away, because, you know, they're not incredibly appreciative of him down there. He has not lived up to the expectations that I think they thought when they gave him all the money in the house and all of those things. But they just signed the number one recruiting class in the country at USC. Like, how do you walk from that? To walk into this mess. It seems like he's finally kind of aligned at USC. Jed Fish is a Florida alum, isn't he? I'm pretty sure he's a UF guy. What of those would make the Michigan man excited? Are they in a position now where, though, almost anybody they get, they just kind of have to make it work? Like, they'll swing for the fences, I'm sure, on this. But jumping into that thing, that is piranha-infested waters without any way to fight back. It is a mess. We'll continue to document this, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, The Fan.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one. To learn more and get help on any day, visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FIRST.